You don't need 20 friends. You just need 3 motherfuckers and you can take over a country. Okay, that's what we're confused as Americans. We think we need all these motherfuckers. You give me 3 bad motherfuckers and you're finished. You understand me?
Welcome to the Super Show. New, improved, with the eye of Justice, Kung Fu Grip, and Kublai Khan action figure. Adventure playset included. Gold bricks sold separately. This show covers all kinds of epicness. From ancient antiquity to multiplying zygotes. You want it, we got it. Starring the world's most dangerous talking heads. Sam Simeon, the supervillain. Kellen the Wise. And belligerent Ben for the win, Benji Bats. Now brace yourself. It only hurts at first. And when you turn it off, so lay back, spark it if you got it. As we bring you the Super Show.
Back in the saddle again.
Welcome back to the Super Show. I am Sam Simeon. As always, I am joined by Kellen the Wise,
yo.
Benji Ben, belligerent bat for the win.
Benji Ben, belligerent bat for the win. You should get a belligerent bat.
Get them all
tattoo.
A round of applause and the first bell of the evening.
Man, so
welcome
hyped.
To the show.
I'm so hyped. We've got Shizukani Nico of Instagram fame. I'm going to be here a little bit later for an interview.
Interview with him. Very
We're
good.
We're doing the menu, brother.
Nice. We are here today. This is the menu, episode 45. This is the Jordan when he came back episode.
Ooh, nice.
Episode 45, series 3.
After the gambling addiction thing.
After he was barred from the game.
In Michael's defense.
And the drinking.
If I had money like him doing crazy shit, I would be gambling it heavily as well.
What else would you do with that?
I feel like
that
45
more
led to the Hitler mustache.
Oh, yeah.
He got a lot of things that happened.
And I don't think that was on purpose. I think he couldn't grow the full thing because it looked weird. Like, I was like, it looked Hitlerish, but I'm like, he couldn't have done that on purpose.
He did the cigar thing.
It's like, no, I'm trying to be Charlie Chaplin. I swear to God, guys.
Yeah. All that stuff, I'm like, man, he owed some people some money or something like that, which doesn't make sense, but then it does. I'm like, damn, he wasn't a good gambler.
No, but
he wasn't listening to the Odds Fathers.
They did say that the only reason he didn't thoroughly dominate when he came back from that retirement was because
of the finger
he couldn't
thing.
Palm the ball like he used to and hold it away from the defense.
He was betting millions with people that he shouldn't be.
And somebody put somebody's
like, they're like, well, Jordan, you got to pay us today. He's like, well, I need to. They get paid per game. You know,
he's the richest man in the world. Like, what sum of money would he get his fingers broken over that he couldn't pay?
He was betting on shots of golf for $1 million.
That's fucking crazy, man.
That's kind of apparently he was doing that and losing.
Well, I'm sure you're not going to win them all, so I know he lost.
He was doing it against, like, golfers. And not saying that he wasn't a decent golfer himself, but, bro, just because you're the best fucking basketball player doesn't mean
you're going to my uncle's actually played golf with him, and he said he's good.
Yeah, he's
good. And, but, like you said, there's sharks out there. There's scalpers.
It's like Darius Rucker out here, saying you got to bring at least $5,000 to the table play him in Madden.
That's insane, bro.
Oh, and new news, Jordan had a gambling problem.
New news.
And now, for news.
What is it this week? Are we still on this Avatar blow-up thing?
I guess so. What's Avatar?
And Zoe is apparently the only person in all 4 films over 2 billion. I saw this on the line.
And what is it, 3 franchises?
So Avatar Way of Water has surpassed 2 billion in box office, and it really hasn't been out that long.
No, actually it hasn't. But again,
Re-release it before the Fire People or whatever come out next. So that it'll be in theaters a month before, making more money again.
Is this shit going to hit 3 bill?
It better fucking not.
Would it hit 3 bill?
If it does, we're going to get testosterone eradicating pills for the population.
Jesus Christ, yeah. I forgot about that.
But you know what? I think
it's toxic.
If it did, it would be more worthy than Titanic being in its spot, because I got nothing out of
Titanic.
Yeah. I got nothing out of Titanic.
The only thing that was cool at Titanic was at the
Billy
time.
Zane.
Yeah. There's some boobies in there.
So we're
listen to your friend Billy Zane.
$2.46 billion for Avatar: Way of Water.
Wow.
Wait, how much?
2.4 billion.
Damn it. Add another half bill since we recorded.
Yeah, dude. People are seeing it.
Shout out to James Cameron.
Some of it, it has to be with the amount of money that tickets cost.
Yes, you know, man. What I mean?
But it's not just that. It's still motherfuckers are seeing it.
I know. I get that.
You're not getting to 2.4 if people aren't seeing it.
I get that. But
James
still,
Cameron can't be buying out the fucking theaters.
But still, that is a factor in there. That is factored into all of that.
I've got some other new news.
Mel
Kiper.
Okay.
His first mock draft is up.
Oh.
And the Colts stand pat at 4.
Right.
They're getting Bryce Young.
No. No way.
Yeah.
No
way.
I think we'll end up getting Levis.
No way.
I don't think that we
Levis.
It's Stroud. Stroud is the guy. Like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
There's no way we don't get Stroud unless we mess it up.
I don't know.
Oh, no. We're going to mess it up.
The first three picks fall where he has to go there. There's no way the Texans don't make a splash with taking Bryce Young, number one. No way. Heisman Trophy winner, nearly championship player. They're going to take him in the flag.
If you have competent scouts that are not just looking at, the name, the school. No, Levis is the best quarterback. He's the Herbert this year. But Herbert didn't get drafted first.
Okay. I have no problem with that. So that's even worse. So if they take him, you think anybody that knows football thinks that player in NFL, that Bryce Young is better than Stroud?
No, but people are going to take him just from the pedigree.
Only at the first spot. He becomes a regular player if he don't.
I don't think Texans are going to take a quarterback, honestly.
Oh, my God. They have to.
That Davis dude was doing decent end of year, and they fucking love him. They've been rocking him for a year. I mean, wouldn't be shocked if they didn't take somebody on either the defensive line. What's his face?
The highest ranked player in the draft. Yeah,
right.
In rush.
Don't forget when we were sitting there.
Or Jalen Carter.
Looking at Hutchinson, and when the Lions could have easily used one of those quarterbacks, and they fucking took the best player. I mean,
they made the right choice, though, because they didn't know what they had at quarterback, and it ended up turning out pretty decent.
I just feel like the Texans might just be Stan Pat, maybe. We'll see, obviously. I've seen a lot of drafts with us sadly trading into the fucking first pick, which is sad to me.
I don't think they should do anything of the sort. They can get Stroud at 4 without moving. I saw another draft, a mock draft that said all they do is stand pat at 4 and get Stroud. If they don't get Stroud, to me, so it looks like
it's a failure in my mind if we don't take Stroud.
Bryce Young is the number one ranked quarterback, and C.J. Stroud is 2. Will Levis is 3, and Anthony Richardson is 4.
No, you don't want any of those guys. The next dude I would take would be the kid from Tennessee.
Yeah,
honestly, what's his face from Purdue? I think he's going to be a decent
Aiden
prospect.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah. He was decent this year.
He won't go before the third.
Yeah, he won't. These aren't first-round quarterbacks at that point.
If
we can't wait.
I'll be disappointed if we're
in the you're sitting in our spot. We can't wait. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to take the shot, but... It's one of those. It has to be one of those three.
Oh, sure.
I feel like it's got to be Stroud.
But we got a show packed with action. We got interviews of graphic designers, super cool people, movers and shakers of the Instagram world. And we're going to cover one of the new cool avant-garde movies that are going. That is the talk of the town.
Good descriptor for this. It is very avant-garde.
I think so.
The menu.
So the only thing we can fucking do now is really get this show started. We're going to take a quick break, come back with some Hawk and Oz Father, and get down to the meat.
Please take a moment to support the products and services of these magnificent sponsors.
Hey, baby. You still up?
Yes.
Good girl. It's time to set your comlink to the late night hour with Boba Fetish. The galaxy's greatest booty hunter is back, bringing in the thickest twilights. Warm or cold?
Yes.
Tune in this week, where I'll be visiting Garza's sexy ass at the brand new Sanctuary. Now with dual Gamorrean-sized water slides. We'll be joined by Moff Gideon promoting his latest sex toy, the Darksaber. We We even got a Hocus Skank ass to try it out live on the show. And if that's not enough, baby, we got Sly Snoodles sitting in with our house band, Slave One, playing only your favorite hits from the original trilogy. You know, back when I was still a badass. Hey, Shandy, baby, give me my Fuck Favreau shirt. We're going to the cantina tonight. That's the late night hour with Boba Fetish.
Intermission. Rise and stretch time.
Coming soon to Mudderton, it's the Seventh House. A luxury one-star motel, the first ever by-the-minute motel in Mudderton. Guests are promised their own room key and no light bulb sharing. Fresh linen if you bring your own, free toilet paper, free bed bug lamps. Not because we have bed bugs, it's more for proof we don't. VIP rooms have working TVs if you bring an antenna. Book a room today. Yelp said only 39% of people regretted their stay. So there's that.
It's intermission. Rise and stretch time.
It's Yuri Belova here for you saving. Yes, I have missed you, my babushkas. Yuri lathered in vodka and here to bring new deal to you. We back on Tatooine, collecting bounty puck that we sleep to Mandalorian through squeagle talking Jawa intermediary. Next time someone bother you, we put bounty on head and they come in warm or cold. Mother-in-law nagging you? She disappear. Your ex move on to new Rodian lover with stupid green anteater face? I don't know, Mr. Stormtrooper. He was here, now I don't see him. Wink, wink. Neighbor dog keep you up all hours? We find nice farm for it to retire to. Your boss up your well, tone and firm butt? No worry, we make problem disappear. Come on down to Tracksuit Speeder. We have new hot setup for your revenge and disappearing need. And while you're there, we rent your old speeder back to you. One-stop shop. We now return you to your regular schedule, Sorgel.
Nestled in the bougie suburb of Zionsville. Oh. I'm throwing you guys for a swerve here.
Okay.
We're talking Bub's Burgers today. Oh. Bub's Burgers and ice cream. Pardon me. There's and ice cream.
Nice.
I was seeing a good buddy of mine off from work. He's moving to Texas. His lawyer wife got hired down there, so he had to quit his job, and they moving the fam and getting down there. So we had a little lunch with some coworkers there.
Shout out to coworkers.
Absolutely.
Hey, workers.
And it's just like a burger spot, you know? Like, there's good TVs around. They've got beer, no mixed drinks, and then obviously burgers and ice cream. So I opted, you could go beef or elk, and I was feeling a little bit randy, and I opted for the elk option, and I had a fucking elk burger, bro.
Elk burger.
Okay. Elk.
Was it strong, tough meat?
Actually, no, it was pretty good. It was really good. I once ate an ostrich burger, and it reminded me very much of that. Ostrich is very lean red meat, similar to bison or buffalo. So if you can get your hands on some of that meat and fashion it into a burger, you'll get the same experience. So ordered it medium, so we could have a little bit of juiciness in the burger. It came out very well done. So,
of course,
they
appreciate that.
Their temperatures were not correct. And then I said to the waitress, I was like, you know, I ordered that medium, and it came out very well done. And she just looks over me and says, yeah, that's been happening a lot lately. But it was good, wasn't it?
I thought she was going to say, like, thanks. I'll tell the chef. It was
well done. I'll tell the chef. Be careful with that shit.
To be honest, well done. It was fucking delicious. I got that burger with both blue cheese and pepper jack.
Oh, you fucking madman.
I know.
You madman.
And bacon. And I had them bring me barbecue sauce instead of the requisite ketchup and mustard. Lettuce, tomato, onion included. I threw the onion, the tomato on the floor. Not really, but figuratively.
Of course, sometimes you have to.
I don't like tomato on my burger. I just don't. I'm not into it. Tomato can have a wide range of quality, and I only want good, non-steroided up tomatoes on my burger. And you just don't know until you get it. So it's just, you're just
people
always
don't get
safer
sick from eating meat.
That's correct. That's correct. It's generally it's usually the leafy greens is
green
culprit
onions
number one.
Are usually a fucking culprit.
Not for me. I love me some green onions. I love chop
tomatoes.
Up a whole bunch of green onions.
I know
onions.
What you mean.
Yeah,
about
you just gotta be careful. Make sure there's no slugs in there.
Wash it. Anyway, so I got the traditional fries, although waffle fries were available for a premium.
Okay.
And after trying both, because Jamie next to me had waffle fries, I declare waffle fry the winner. And I will say their fry portions were not large, though. And fries are not included with your burger. You must order them a la carte
places. No. But I will say I appreciate it more if they're going to make me a la carte French fries. Don't be fucking trying to give me potato chips. That shit is elementary. I hate that shit.
Right.
Unless now they
some fucking Ruffles out of a bag. Yes. If they're house made, cool. Chips, yes. That's fine.
Yes.
But I don't want no bag chip. Don't do that to me. No, they don't even give you those chips. Okay. You just get a burger. Now, I was able to sample a strawberry milkshake, which was actually fucking really high quality.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. The burger was insanely good. The only thing that I can really parse here is the fry situation. I mean, to include the fries. Just give me the price. Everybody wants fries, okay? So let's not pretend that we're not going to order fries. Right. And don't fucking, if you're going to charge me $3 for an order of fries or $3.75 or whatever the fuck it was, give me a good portion.
Yeah.
I need a good portion. I don't need half of a small basket filled. I need the full fucking basket.
A basket, right.
And I need the larger basket for the large order.
Right.
Not just a filled basket.
I agree.
So with that said, there was not a lot of weight. The TVs were small-ish, not large, which I would have preferred larger TVs. But all in all, the ambiance was cool. People there were nice. Lots of dad. You can take your family there. Like, they serve beer, but it is not really a bar. It is very burger-centric. So, I would give it a solid A-.
An A-?
Yeah, no, that burger was fucking fantastic. Even well done. It really was.
So, and you said how good was the shake?
The shake was very good. It's one of the better shakes I've ever had.
Was it like Pulp Fiction $5 shake?
It was worth more than $5, in my opinion.
Oh, due to inflation.
But exactly. Yeah, inflation has changed the price on that $5 shake.
Even when I said that, I'm like, oh, you can get a $5 shake from Steak and Shake.
Oh, shit, dude.
So then,
this is true.
But also, that was in, like, what, 1994 or whatever? Yeah. And it is also California.
Right.
And it's also a theme restaurant that $5 shake came from. So.
True. Yeah, that's true.
There were mitigating circumstances. But yeah, solid A-. Definitely go out, check out Bubs Burgers and Ice Cream. You won't be sorry.
You love it? You going? We're going.
I mean, it sounds like we need to. At least for the shake.
We got to go.
I'd say try the Elk. I think you would be surprised. It hits you exactly like a beef burger. It's just a little bit leaner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as fatty. So
go there. Have the Elk Burger or the strawberry
and
shake.
Oh, one other thing I like about this place is the burgers come in several different sizes. You can get like a small one, a medium one, a large one, or an extra large one.
Now, what's the extra large one?
I believe it's like 3/4 of a pound.
Damn. Quarters of
a
pound.
I believe so.
Yeah. Good
It
Lord.
Might be a full pounder. I'm not sure. But
So you get down there, get to eating now. That 3/4 of a pound. We'll meet you down there. We'll have a good time.
Got the money this week if you follow. We brought the brooms and shit. We did it.
Just back on top. Give them the bell and the applause for that.
Right back into it. We took San Francisco to cover the spread, -4. They did. Cowboys are fucking awful. Jesus, man. That was bad.
It's sad for them because every year comes down to if they don't make it to this point, it was a failure. They make it to this point and lose, it's still a failure.
Right, no matter what. And I would be so shitty if I had to be like Dak or somebody that basically like shoulders the responsibility for that team losing every year because
and have to
no explain. Matter what, yeah, Jerry Jones is going to be like, we should have won.
We should have won. But to
like, bro, you shouldn't have really won for the last 20 years, which is why you fucking have it.
But shout out to San Francisco. That is a fucking team right there, I know. Man. Those dudes.
That's, man, it makes this week tough.
Shout out to the Hat Ambassador, too.
Yep, shout out to the Hat Ambassador. Cigars,
man.
Let's shout out to him.
Hatsandcigars.com. We love this motherfucker. Actual, real, true friend of the show.
Real deal.
I've been there. I've been to his crib.
Yep.
In Miami. His crib is impressive.
Salute to The 12th floor.
It's funny when I hear this
because I know what he has coming. So when I hear the kind of theme music, and I know that there's another part to it.
Wait,
I'm always waiting for that to come. Yeah, the actual.
There's a
production for the theme video. Music. Yeah, there's an actual video of before his entire brand, and that music is.
We need to be posting it in the Facebook group.
Find
us on Facebook. It's a group called The Super Show. Find us.
Apply.
Yep, you'll love
we
it.
We had new members this week. Yep. We've been having you'll new members every week, looks like.
Added some family members. That was fun.
Yeah. If you're an attractive female and you send us pics of your boobies, will you have a much higher chance of getting in the group?
This is
highly selective.
This is true.
We will
this
censor your face before we post them online.
This is
oh,
true.
No, we won't be posting. I mean, those are for posterity.
And prosperity, too. Yeah. Mm. So, what do we have?
Yeah, so we hit the, we hit San Francisco. We took Cincy +5.5. They won outright. Obviously, they're going to the AFC Championship. So that was an easy dub there.
They played good.
They fucking destroyed the Bills. And really, I was honestly thinking Bills Niners Super Bowl, but that's not happening.
Joe Burrow is the truth, man. He is the real deal. He is what happens when you draft well.
Yes,
motherfucker.
And build a nice team around him, too.
Man,
he tore the knee up. He tore the knee up, so they
instantly it's like that never even happened.
They went and shored up their line the next year. I mean, they
what was that? 2 years ago?
Good team building.
2 years
ago? Burrow to Chase for the next 20 fucking years, dude.
Man,
if they can keep a hold of them,
they are hard to deal with.
There's no way they're going to separate. Those two dudes are at the hip. From college till the end.
So we got four games.
Nope.
Four.
So we got our play of the week as well that we hit. We did a parlay with the Chiefs over the Jags and the Eagles over the Giants. Both of them cruised. So that takes us overall. Odds father, 77-44-1.
Nice.
And the play of the week is back in the fucking green finally, 5-4.
Nice.
All right.
Fucking
nice.
Time.
Isn't that like 4 in a row?
Nice.
5 in a row because we started off with fucking 4.
I thought we started 1-4.
That's it was pretty bad. Good. It was beastly.
0-4, and then we won. One out since then.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So we're 5-4 now.
That was beastly. Yes. But it's because it's the Super Show's winner's momentum. It's a real thing. You need it.
So this week, we're going to take Philly. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but we're going to take them on the money over the 49ers. Obviously, it's going to be a fucking good game on both of these games. I don't know why, man. I just don't think that the 49ers can keep up with the Eagles when the Eagles start scoring a bunch of fucking points.
Nah, dude. Christian McCaffrey is going to take over that game.
I think he's
injured. A little nervous, though, because both of them. Injured.
They were only playing him on third downs, and that's weird.
That's all they needed him for.
They were saving his ass.
I don't think so. I think he's hurt.
I'd really like to see what's going to happen.
Everything cancels out except him. He's like the one X factor in this game.
See, I think Hurts is the X factor.
But the Eagles' defense is the X factor. And they that's have why not been
we are
going
to take Jalen Hurts as our play of the week to score a touchdown anytime. Anytime touchdown score.
I like that.
So yep. Now, him or him, throw for one?
He needs to run it in.
Run it in. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So or run it in. The Philly special has been a thing in the past. He could also catch one. Either way, he needs to run it in or catch one.
Okay. So actually, I was wrong. We have two games, not four.
Yes. And so I'm gonna put us a little college basketball in there too. Spice it up this week.
Okay. So the first game is we have the Eagles over
the 49ers on the money.
Now,
and
I
then
just
we're
going to
take Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown anytime. That'll be our play of the week. Then obviously the other game is the Bengals at the Chiefs. I don't think Mahomes is as hurt as he's made out to be.
I'm going with the Chiefs. It's hard to beat three times a charm, and they've already beat them three times. It is hard to keep beating teams, especially when you can't get any better.
I just don't know how I can go against Joey B.
I know he's a bad boy, man, but this dude can throw a pass from the locker room.
All right,
I gotta go with Mahomes.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
They both have really good teams, and I would almost borderline say both have complete teams, but Kansas City's team is completer.
The problem is coaching. Burrow's in Mahomes' head. He's 3-0.
I can believe that. Yeah.
3 in a row, including two of those three in Arrowhead.
I agree, but I think it is now time for a rechange.
They're both our guys. I think we're going to take the Chiefs on the money over the Bengals, weirdly. And then we're also, actually, I mean, really, if you wanted to take them on the spread right now, they're getting a point. So if they get beat by 1 point, you would just push. But we might as well just take them to win.
So this is, as of today, what's today's date?
Today is the 25th.
The 25th.
Wednesday, January 25th, meaning you have access to those three points.
No, it's just 1 point right now.
Oh, I thought it was three.
It was at one point, I thought three, but now it's one. So obviously, if Mahomes is, you know, looking good, then it'll probably
Who's our call on this one?
We're going to take the Chiefs on the money, and then we're also going to take Travis Kelce to score a touchdown anytime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen.
I mean, that just seems real safe. And then for fun, this weekend, IU is hosting the lovely Ohio State Buckeyes at the Assembly Hall. And I would like
fuck
to take
Ohio State.
This. I would like to say fuck Ohio State and take Indiana to win on the money at home.
Okay.
Those would be our five picks this week.
So we're gonna go 5-0 again because
we only went 3-0 last week, but we're going 5-0 this week.
Okay, 5-0 this week.
It feels right.
So it's time to place bets. Bet early, bet often, and bet on the Super Show.
Do that.
And before you hit his music, you need to hit his music.
You think so?
Oh, I know so.
Oh well, is it time? Let's see if it's time for that.
What's up, Hollywood Ron Diesel?
Shout out to Ron Diesel.
This is being slobbed on by three different California 13s right now.
Which makes one Voltron California 26.
While he's laying back Voltron. Watching My Chemical Romance music videos, not even paying attention to them hoes.
That's the best way to do it.
What's up,
Hollywood
Ron D?
That's the best way to do it. And a guy that missed our show last week that we're going to have on the show.
One day.
Coming to the show near you, Chad Wallace. So till the next time, it's the Oz Father. It's time.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hello there. I am Camille Deville, international supermodel. When I am not slaying the runway or on the cover of Vogue, or vacationing on a catamaran in the south of France with my fiancé Prince Uamin, I love to listen to the Super Show. They make me laugh and I just want to take my dress off and dive into the ocean and swim with the dolphins. When I listen to the Super Show, I feel free and beautiful. Listen to the Super Show if you would like to feel free and beautiful too. Sam Simeon, Kellen the Wise, and Benji Batar Magnificent. This show is fantastic. Wonderful. Download it and see.
Don't touch that app. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Stumpy Samson, back with a new high-quality product for you. Fellas, ever been in an intimate moment? She ties her hair back in a ponytail. You know she's about to slob that knob with some tongue-to-the-booty-hole action. You're all excited, but that Taco Bell you ate yesterday has got you worried. Next time, try M and Enemas. Leave your chocolate highway squeaky clean with a fantastic chocolate aftertaste your partner will love. Have a peace of mind knowing your chocolate starfish is extra chocolatey in a good way. Pop that baby in an hour before Mr. Nasty time, and you'll be in a candy-coated heaven. Available at Kinky Jimmy's Discount Drugstore, Package Liquor, and Adult Novelties on Malcolm X Boulevard across from Full Stacks. You buy, we fry ribs and tips. Now back to the three biggest assholes in the multiverse, the Super Show!
And we are back with Shizukani Niko, an amazing lo-fi, synthwave, vaporwave artist that we know through Instagram, and we are ready to talk to this guy and find out a little bit more about his art, his work, and how he might be monetizing in the future. Let's get to it.
Benji Bats, Kellen the Wise, and Sam Simeon here with our awesome interview. Let's go ahead and kind of spell this out for you, literally. You can find him on Instagram at Shizukani Niko, spelled Shizukani Niko, the amazing artist, Shizukani. It's awesome to have you, buddy.
Hey. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
And he is really a friend of the show. He's already collaborating with us on some t-shirt projects.
We like t-shirts.
I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, obviously, you know that I found you on Instagram with my lo-fi synthwave and vaporwave interest in art. You obviously, you know, are doing great work, but what I really appreciate is kind of your unique spin on vapor slash lo-fi slash synthwave. Actually, let's make that the first question. What do you consider yourself? Are you synthwave? Are you lo-fi? Are you vaporwave? And what is the difference between those three things?
Oh man, that's a great question. First of all, I am really excited to be on the show. Also, I'm really happy that y'all spelled out my name because I was really dumb when I picked out this name. no one can ever find me.
I'll tell you, Sam and Kellen were quite intimidated by that handle, and I had to go through it a few times.
With shout out to Benji Bats for spelling that correctly, because I was watching it on the computer screen, not facing him, so I'm going through each letter as he spells it, going, please don't make a mistake. Please don't make a mistake. And I was kind of concerned if he would or wouldn't. But he passed it.
He pulled through.
So Shizukani, what is the difference between these three? Tell us, man.
So honestly, I don't think anybody knows. I think it's just kind of a vague feeling. Vaporwave in particular is always really hard to pin down because you have some people that do a lot with like the user interface style aesthetic and everything like that. But then you have other people that it's more about the colors and the feeling. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of a feeling. Synthwave is a little easier to pin down, in my opinion, just because it kind of has, it feels more established.
So it's like, a lot of pink. You're just going to see a lot of pink in that shit.
Well, and that Outrun Sun, which Synthwave and Outrun are close in my mind, so I put them together. But it's just kind of that feeling of being like an 80s badass in a sweet car. That's Synthwave to me. So like,
with music,
that's what I would wrap that in. And then Retrowave is something new to me that like, I didn't know I was doing Retrowave stuff until someone told me. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Was but it like, lo-fi in my Retrowave head, that told you?
Oh yeah, we talk a lot. He's an awesome dude.
He is, as a past guest on the show. And I'm just kind of curious because I don't feel like I knew that you guys were friends before I started interacting with the two of you. Did you guys kind of find each other through me, or did you guys know each other previously?
No, I've been following him since a while back, before he blew up. But, I mean, I've always really dug his stuff because he's kind of, like on the edge, kind of how I am in terms of there's not a specific genre that either of us can kind of really be nailed down into.
Mm-hmm. Right.
which I always appreciated. And then one day we just kind of started talking, and it's been really cool because like we can bounce ideas off each other and like just shoot the shit. And so it's really nice. I met him on Instagram, and he's just a really cool guy.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And also a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
If you've noticed, I kind of refer to him as the one and only Lo-Fi Retrowave, and I started calling him that before I even met you. And part of the reason why I started to call him that is because his shit looks unlike everything else in a world where vaporwave, synthwave, retrowave, and lo-fi can kind of run together, and there's not a lot of differentiation from artist to artist. Now, in your particular case, I'm so drawn to your work because it has such a unique aesthetic.
Yes.
Now, when we talked to Lo-Fi about where he kind of made his look from, he talked about how he used a lot of photos that he took just as a hobby before he even started doing art. And then he used all those photos that were just sitting there unused as the basis for some of the pieces that he made. So do you use photographs that you generate yourself, or are you pulling art from other places? How do you actually make your creations?
Oh man, I wish I had the money to visit half the places I make art out of. A lot of what I use is stock photo that's rights free. There's a lot of really good resources out there for it. There's like Unsplash, Pixabay. If you have an Adobe account, there's a lot of good Adobe stock that's free. I always try and make sure I'm not stepping on any copyright toes, and there's certain things that I would never sell because I don't feel like I've really messed with it enough to claim it. But so long story short, a lot of my stuff is stuff that other people have taken, and I just kind of diddle with it.
I really dig all your stuff, but one of the specific ones that I've liked that I was going to comment on when we had you on the show was Cold Snap, and I just really like the colors in it. And it just kind of hit me as far as like the snow, the splatter of the snow falling down. It just had a great feel to it.
It speaks to me.
But the colors were kind of anti snow and coldness, and it oddly enough, it kind of had a for lack of a better term, like a Miami warmness. So it really threw me off in the contrast.
Right, the neon pink and the neon blue with the snow. I think you just posted it within the last few days.
Yeah, I really dug that.
Oh yeah.
It's a great
image. I'm really glad that you brought that one up because I was worried about it.
really? That was one of my favorite ones.
I've been playing with some new textures, and that was kind of the first test on it. I've been sitting on it for a little while, and then I finally let it out. I like it because, so I'm in South Texas. It's never cold here. ever. But I also lived in Pennsylvania, Virginia, New Mexico, New Mexico in particular, that actually get cold. And so you kind of miss the snow and stuff like that. So I figured like juxtaposing the two of them together to kind of give the warm tones but the cold feeling was an interesting idea to try.
Good call on that, Sam Simeon.
Well done. Yeah, absolutely. It really touched me in that vibe where it was like perfect, like you said. The image clearly is cold, stark, it's dark, it's at night, but then the color palette
gave it Miami warmth.
It was like excellent.
That nightlife down in Miami.
Art Deco kind of.
We like nightlife.
That was absolutely brilliant in adding those two separate contrasting elements to each other, and then they balance out so well.
So Shizukani, tell us, how did you get started? And like, what led you down the path of vapor, lo-fi, retro, synth waves?
Well, I got my degree in graphic design a while back.
Okay.
Immediately when I got out of college, there was a recession, and I didn't get to do anything like that. So I went up going into sales for like a while. And then when we moved back to Texas,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. I finally found my way back into a creative field, which was awesome. But I kind of forgot that I knew how to use Photoshop. So I started playing with that. And then that coupled with me learning Japanese, I wanted to kind of put what I was learning into what I was making so that it would stick down in my head better. And I really got annoyed with seeing like a bunch of just kind of nonsense words that were thrown up there. So those two kind of combined, and I started it tacitly, and then COVID hit, and I really just kind of went off on it.
That was me with alcohol. Like, I had never really been into alcohol before COVID. And then, man, when that COVID hit, I found my new hobby, and I really leaned into that motherfucker. That's true. Very true.
No, when the power went out in Texas, we suddenly, like, the liquor store was priority number one. It was that the gas station opened back up.
Right. I mean, that was literally all we could do for, like, what? Like, almost 6 months? 9 months? Like, it was a long fucking time where it was, like, basically drink and watch TV, and that's all you really had to do.
But I think we get to a point where probably the key question that has to be asked in this interview is, what does your name mean, and why did you pick it?
Oh yeah, I'm super glad y'all asked that, because I'm always trying to kind of explain that away. So when I was learning Japanese, I came up with a name. My cat hangs out with me a lot whenever I'm designing, so I wanted my name to be the Quiet Cat.
The Quiet Cat.
Unfortunately, I was still learning Japanese, so it should have been Shizukani. I don't know what it should have been because I don't learned it right. But what it actually translates to is shut up cat. So it being Shizukane Neko, Shizukane is shut up, and then Neko is cat.
Fucking cat never stops talking. So, goddamn.
Nice.
Some people that I kind of talked to in Japan let me know, and I was like, oh shit. And it's before I really started doing anything. They're like, no, it's kind of funny. And I was like, you know what? It is.
Well, at least we're not out here Google translating like me when these French chicks hit me up on Instagram. I'm just a Google translator. You actually learned the language.
Very classy.
I'm learning. I say I can speak about as much as a kindergartner right now, but that's enough to get around, find the bar, find the bathroom. So,
but if you can speak as much Japanese as a Japanese kindergartner, you're doing great.
You're good to go. You can definitely navigate the city at that point.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
So, what are some of your goals for the future as you grow? Because obviously, a talent like this is clearly going to grow and give you new opportunities. Where are some of your hopes or ideas for your talents in the future?
Well, mostly I just kind of do it because it's fun. I kind of treat every project like a way to learn a new technique. With the apparel side of things, it always looks a bit different than my design work. And I think it's fun. Like, my job is I work at a screen printing and embroidery shop, and so we do that all day. So I'd really like to see kind of that expand forward with what I think is cool. And my whole thing is I want to make stuff that, like, I would wear. So I guess that's kind of one way I'm going. And then with the art, a lot of my main goal is I suck at drawing, so if I can make my stuff look more like a drawing, that's cool. Like, I enjoy that.
And I suck at drawing as well, and as you know, I have spent I've kind of branched off, and I've got this little side project I'm doing, AI art. And one of the things, well, first of all, I will call it AI imagery, so people don't get mad at me. And let's be honest, AI imagery is very controversial due to the fact that these AIs scrape, used works, not used works, but just works that are owned by others, through the internet. And they view that, but they don't have rights and they don't own these pieces. But it's like, if you're a human being, you would go look at the Mona Lisa online, and that would inform your artistic style. So it's not really any different than just being a person. So for you personally, and I understand there's sort of, every place on the spectrum with this, where do you find yourself? Is AI imagery art? And how do you feel about it?
That's pretty interesting. So my wife is a fine artist, so I tread a line. Because in my head, AI art, like, I jack people's stock photo to make cool stuff. Like, it's kind of just a step away from that. It's really complicated because, like, the way you're doing it, I think, is the absolute best way to do it. Because you're letting people know, like, this is what it is. This is how it happened. Mm-hmm. And that part of it is awesome. I really dislike when people try and be like, this is my art and I slaved over it. Because, like, I watch my wife painting and I'm like, like, I could not do that. Right. And so I get annoyed when people try and play it off as, like, I painted this. I was like, no, dude, you didn't. Like,
So I will say, as a practitioner of AI imagery, it takes a lot more time than what people think because the AI fucks up so much. And so you can literally type out this prompt, wait 5 to 6 minutes for it to generate a series of four images, which you have to choose from, and chances are all four of those suck. And so then you have to re-roll the narrative, and you may re-roll it 5, 6, 7 times and go through 28 to 32 images before you find one that you want to upscale. And even when it upscales, it doesn't even necessarily come out the way that you intend. It fucks up noses, faces, hands, like hands especially. God damn Midjourney in their hands.
Yeah.
But with that said, when a piece comes out like you intend it to, it is so satisfying. It really, really is.
Oh, yeah. I'm not shitting on it at all. Like, it's that I definitely see tons of validity into it. I just hate when people, that would be like me saying, like, I go out and draw all my pictures, and people are like, dude, I can see that you don't. But it's definitely something that's really cool. I kind of feel like I'm living on the edge of Terminator times, which is interesting.
Me too.
But, it's so true.
But, you know, one thing that I noticed, and this is where it really becomes complicated, because as a graphic designer, artist, kind of a person that toys around with that myself, I am really torn because I get the lack of ownership. I get the notion of theft, that people feel you're stealing their things. But even on the other side of that, when I look at the images that are created, I'm like, I don't know who drew it or what, but this is amazing to look at, and that means something. You know, no matter what, just like your style of art is just as valuable as, say, your wife's style of art, who does more hands-on, actual fine-line paintings. What you're doing and what other artists do, even with the AI, I know your art is not AI in that sense, but it's kind of like the art is just expanding, where you want to discredit certain types, but really anything visually appealing to the eye can be viewed as art, and any effort that you put into it to make it that art is viable and valuable effort that was put in. So it's like this weird place that I watch all this stuff and I'm just amazed. My eyes just glaze over with all this amazing color and art, and then at the same time I'm like, but did they steal this from somebody? And so it's that double-edged thing, kind of what you were saying. So it's a weird time, and it's funny that you said the like the Skynet or the Terminator days, because really what's left, like if you can literally go type in a description of art and make a painting, that does have effect on guys and people who literally do a painting from scratch. You know, like, I don't know where we all fit together is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's something that like one thing that I usually talk with Melody about is that it kind of takes takes the fun out of it for like a painter, if you're going to pass it as a painter, because like one thing that I really like to see in a painting is like, I get like to get in and see your brush strokes and like see how you did that.
I like to see
because that blows my mind as a digital artist, because I'm like, I don't do that.
Right. But it is amazing.
And I think that's where I empathize more with AI art, because like, to be honest, I'm only a couple steps away from that. So it's something that, like, I'm not going to be the curmudgeonly old man sitting on the front porch being like, these kids and their bullshit.
Right. And it's funny you say that, because that's what I was trying to say, is that I'm torn between, I literally feel both equally. Like, I'm like, let's do this. AI is beautiful. This is the new shit. This is great. And then at the same time, I do feel
Skynet. Because you're a creator and you've made music and you know what it would feel like for someone to bite your beats if they did. So, Shizukani, I thought of this sort of illustration today, and I thought about me, a person who can't draw for shit and has no spatial intelligence and no real ability to generate anything with my hands. So I kind of thought about myself as like a person that doesn't have legs, right? And so when I found Midjourney, I now have leg prosthetics, and I can now walk unlike I could before. I can take the ideas out of my head, and with this prosthetic, I can generate something that brings joy and wonderment to the world.
That has legs.
Right.
With legs. Oh, yeah. That's like the same exact thing like me in Photoshop. Like, I always think of it as like in that Futurama episode where Fry's like, I have what my teacher, Mrs. Mellinger, used to call stupid fingers. Like, I cannot do physical art in that way. It's not made in my body. So to find a way to like, to find a tool that can get you there is awesome. Cause at the end of the day, like a creative expression is going to be great no matter what.
Right. Totally agree.
Right.
Next question. When did you become a Japanophile?
That's good. I went in on that question, too.
Our people prefer to be called weebs. No, not really. That's not a great term. No, I've always really dug Japan. And as a kid, I was into military history, which, you know, inevitably will take you to Japan and Germany. Okay. And then as I got older, I found anime and comic books and all kinds of nerd shit. Always awesome. Like the PlayStation 2, all that definitely took me there. My first system was a Sega Genesis that I found in the trash. So like that's
fucking awesome.
Definitely Japan from the beginning.
Nice.
But it's just something that's really interesting. And once I started learning the language, I got more interested in how the food's cooked. So I started learning how to cook the food. And then you see how similar the language is in some ways to other languages, but how different it is. Like Japan and Spanish to me kind of feel in the same vibe, which makes it a little easier to learn. I don't know, an actual linguist will tell me I'm full of shit, but to that way it feels like it. So it's just always been something that's interested me. Plus, like, my main motivator to learn any language is food, and Japanese food is awesome. So I'm going to learn the food.
I'm with you.
We like food.
Totally. We really do enjoy us some food, don't we?
We do. Typically, we eat on the show, actually.
It does happen from time to time.
Or we do live on set and location, and we eat at restaurants, different stuff. So
Benji likes to cook for us every now and again.
I do.
Indeed. Now, y'all actually got me onto the well-fried fries from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes, I forgot to share that with you guys. Yeah, and in my experience, ordering through the app Well Done Fries does not do it. It must be done through a phone order. And you have to really tell that chick on the phone, I need extra, extra well done fries, and then they won't fuck them up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the little comment on DoorDash, I usually just put burn them.
Yes. But you said something about the anime, and it's funny because we actually have an anime show coming up. And so it just hit me in this moment. But I was like, yeah, we got to get him back on for the anime show.
What do you suggest we cover in this anime episode that we have upcoming? Because we want to kind of touch on a few different titles. You know, obviously, One Piece is probably the biggest thing in the world right now. What else should we chat about?
Oh, man. So a big influence in a lot of the stuff I make is the anime that I grew up with. And so the big ones to me are Cowboy Bebop, for sure.
Absolutely.
Fooly Cooly. A show called Outlaw Star was super cool.
I don't know that one.
Some of the Gundams, some of them y'all can just leave. But some of them are awesome. Some of them you just kind of avoid that.
Now, I had a question. What about, because I just want to get your opinion on if you view it that way, but what about, and I actually asked Benji Batts the same question, but there's I'm even going to clarify with you if this even qualifies as an anime, but a movie called Ninja Scroll. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
Oh, okay. Okay, so because I was just wanting to get someone's opinion on, I've never heard anybody really add that to the list of anime movies, but it sure felt anime to me.
It's an older movie, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And speaking of the older ones, I wanted to ask you specifically, should we talk about Akira or Ghost in the Shell on that episode?
Would they qualify to you as an anime fan as anime?
Oh, certainly. Akira is like a gold standard. There's another one called, I think it's called Wolf Brigade. That's really good. It's an artist that does like the really, like almost grindhouse cyberpunk. Like,
ooh, that's my shit right there.
So typically,
anything like, geez, like the 70s to the early 90s is a gold mine. If you're looking for like campier stuff, City Hunter is amazing. There's another one. It's an anthology. Not many people know about this one, but it's on Amazon Prime called Memories. And it's a bunch of like the top animators from the time that did like, I think it's four different stories. All of them are excellent. Like, I could go on for days about this.
So if you had to, because typically our shows are centered on it. We have a centerpiece that the show is based around, and then we kind of add the other elements. So if you were going to pick an anime movie that a show would be based around, what would you qualify maybe for you, speaking for as many anime fans as you may know, what would be like if somebody had to pick one anime movie to kind of define the rest, what anime movie would you pick?
oh man, they're gonna put me on the spot like that. Jeez, it really depends on your mood. Like, Akira is definitely a big one because it's got mass appeal, beautiful animation, all kinds of iconic awesomeness. So I'd probably stick on Akira for sure.
Okay. Now, I'm only asking you because the weight is on your shoulders, because whatever you pick as the unofficial slash official authority on anime for us is whatever the one. We're going to cover Akira on the show as the cornerstone of the show because you advised it.
So, Shizukani, we got one.
Right, that's why I'm suggesting it, because Noah can come back to me and be like, man, that shit sucks. Like, that's Akira, that was a safe bet.
Which we will.
So we're up against it. We got time for one more question, and that question is about, we were going to make a big announcement, but we're not quite ready for the big announcement, so I understand that we have a secondary announcement to make.
Yeah, so I do have merch in the shop up right now. It's shizukanineko.com. It's kind of like my dropship shop out there. Okay. Also, I do have like a little micro collection with emotionalapparel.com. That I have a few things that I've made there, and I was actually on their calendar this year.
I took up
August for their calendar. They've got a few left. There's only a couple left that they do like a pre-order for, so there's like five or six left. But that's another thing, and then hopefully, I mean, stay tuned at me on Instagram, and there might be some more news soon.
Hopefully. At me. At Shizukani Niko, Shizukani N-E-K-O.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fucking clockwork. Definitely spell it out. Nice. I might want to rewind it to catch it again.
Or you can just get at me on Facebook or Insta, and I will definitely get... I mean, really, if you follow me on Insta, you would have seen his art fucking 50 times at this point. Right. But, Shizukani Niko, thank you for being an amazing guest on the Super Show. We were so excited to fucking have you. We were hyped. I know you were hyped. And, I mean, this has gone really well. Yeah. So, we're really glad to have you as a part of our The Menu Show. Yes. And you are a great centerpiece to the conversation that we're having today. We appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to hear those bells in person.
And we can't wait to have you on again. We kind of view this as like a super show, Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of deal. Yes. We like having recurring characters and people that visit us multiple times. So we really look forward to having you back. You've been awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Now a word from our sponsors.
This is the true heir to Mandalore Bo-Katan. Stay tuned for more Super Show. I'm seriously considering going full frontal in the next segment. You don't want to miss these big old double D's dangling in the boys' faces for the whole show. I came to bang Boba Fetish, and I will not leave until we have dried out his back to tank. This is the way.
Lonely, are you? The hottest Jedis in the galaxy are waiting to talk to you. But it doesn't stop there. My friends want to chat too. No, Jabba's not here right now. You want me to put my lightsaber where? No. Call now, you will. Day wanna party?
Not all girls meet minimum midichlorian counts. Not available on Alderaan or Coruscant.
Don't touch that app. We'll be right back.
This is Stumpy Samson, back with today's sponsor, the Ewok Flea Market! Need Yaddle-shaped nipples for Baby Yoda's bottle? How about a black chrysanthemum cosplay to scare your punk-ass little sister? You could chase her everywhere! Get here early, cause we'll have blue milkshakes for the kids! We've got Wampa Skin condoms! We've got Tusken dental dams! Best car bras to hold them titties up, they starting to sag, girl! We even got our hands on Boba Fetish's back-to-tank! I'll be honest, folks, this hasn't been gently used. He got some Wookie Nookie and there is a pound of air stuck in the drain. You're gonna want to sterilize this thing too. Yeah. Come on down to the Ewok Flea Market where we got everything you need, even the fleas, whether you like it or not. Across the street from Volstagg's, you buy We Fry Ribs and Tips on Malcolm X Boulevard, where EBT is always welcome. Now back to the motherfucking Super Show!
That's right, it's a motherfucking Super Show.
Dude, we do fuck mothers.
That's true.
I mean, I prefer mothers. Well, at least you know they're Randy at that point.
I would ask any questions. I prefer no kids, personally, but
wow, that was inappropriate.
Preference, it's not a deal breaker.
Welcome back to the Super Show. We are talking about the menu.
The fucking menu!
Benji Betts, Sam Simi, and Kelly Wise. We are live in the salon talking about the menu, the new avant-garde movie from director Mark Mylod and written by Seth Reese. It is an HBO Max special movie presentation. It was in the theaters, too, if I'm not mistaken.
True. And limited.
It was made for a budget of $30 million, and it's made $78.8 to this point.
Woo! Killing.
So it's technically it's a success, but, you know, they throw that $100 million in for marketing.
They always want to get
it. Oh, no, they didn't market this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just on HBO Max. That part was free.
So, they're starring, apparently, I've been calling him Ralph Fiennes for like 200 years. His name is Rafe. Yeah. Rafe Fiennes.
We did a little...
We thought
he was Eastern European, but he's actually British.
Yeah, we thought he was German or Austrian or some shit.
So we will amend that and start saying Rafe instead of Rafe. Ralph, which really sounds...
Ralph Fiennes.
Really sounds hillbilly-ish and Midwestern. So I found out that he would meet me, and I go, oh my God, Mr. Ralph Fiennes, I'm a great fan. He's like, who the fuck is Ralph?
The what the fuck look like a Ralph to you, motherfucker?
And also starring... Anya Taylor-Joy.
Anya.
Taylor-Joy.
My daughter's name.
The lady with the eyes like, farthest like apart the in the sexiest position.
Yo, that chick looks like the sexiest fucking alien that could ever be alien.
Yes, the eyes are far apart.
Man. Yeah,
she is a number. And it has Nicholas Holt.
Is that a Beast?
I love Nick Holt.
Is that Beast? Holt, he played Beast in the
new X-Men.
He was in like
the Fox X-Men.
Yeah, entries. Only like one of those were good.
He was in the Jack and the Giant Beanstalk movie too.
He was, wasn't he?
With now, Al Swearengen.
Rounding out a cast of some other. I'd say Lakers bench level actors.
What's wrong with Leguizamo?
Oh, as I said, he's rounding out the cast. He's John Leguizamo mentioning.
Then we hit the bench.
Then the rest of them.
I saw his
Lakers bench too. Like
I saw his
one man Broadway show. Yeah. It was really good. Yeah,
he's
actually.
Brilliant. He's actually,
really
absolutely the way he like a good portion of it is him doing the voices of all of his family members.
Yes.
And. You felt like you knew those motherfuckers by the time the show was over.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, this was a unique take on this movie purely because originally, obviously, for the Super Show, we kind of do a certain type of material. And this seemed to be off the beaten path for that. Although, really,
the Super Show, we cover everything.
Right.
So, talking about this shit, though.
We do popularity.
You got to cover it.
Right here. This part at the beginning, though.
So, if we can bring whoever hasn't seen it up to speed.
Mentally, and then we'll hit this here in a little bit.
The menu is a story about a select group of high class. Restaurant goers who are invited by the world's greatest chef to his private restaurant on an island, and they're going to sample what is to be the meal
his
of their
best,
life.
Yeah, his best exactly. menu.
His best meal ever.
What is it? Julian Slowick.
His name is, played brilliantly by Rafe Fiennes.
Correct.
Who also was from Harry Potter fame.
True. Yeah. He was Voldemort.
Shout out to that.
He was also in The Kingsman.
He was in The Kingsman. I like him in The Kingsman.
Or The King's Man.
Excuse me. Yeah. And apparently, just a fun fact, originally, the writer who helped write this movie, there were two actually, Reese Rice, and another gentleman. The second gentleman actually was the one who went to, and I'm going to try to pronounce this, the Cornelius Siomet Restaurant.
Siomet Restaurant.
Yeah.
Siomet Restaurant.
On an island in Norway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the experience he had there was so
the Cornelius life-changing. Seafood Restaurant.
It was it basically translates to the Cornelius Seafood Restaurant. So
thanks, right. Benji Bats, for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Well, what's funny is that, you know, saying it that way instead of just blanketly saying Cornelius Seafood Restaurant is kind of part of the gist of all of this to begin with.
Yeah.
That the incredibly overstated pomp and circumstance.
Correct.
There is so much pomp. Oh my God, it is overflowing with pomp.
Yes.
So this movie starts with the cast of restaurant goers being taken by boat out to the fantasy island, for lack of a better term. Right.
Correct.
And we pick up and join them as they are being led to the restaurant. The restaurant,
and they go through, like, on the way there, they talk to, what's her name, like, Elsa? Is that right?
The little
Asian lady?
Yes.
But she basically lets them know that everything is sourced, that they're about to eat from the island. So yes. Nothing is coming, you know, shipped in or anything like that.
Culinary biomes, I believe it was referred to.
And what's good about this is that it really just shows the most extreme level.
A minute ago, when she was talking about that meat, that, like, it has to dry age for X amount of days.
155 or something. It's like, what happens on day 156?
Yeah. Whatever it is.
She's like, what if I do that 34?
The bacteria would take over your brain and you'd fucking die.
Eat you, yeah.
So
he's like, oh.
Note that for later.
Note to self.
So I really enjoy the way everything is so formal and rigid.
It does not seem like things are going to go the way that they start going.
Right. And you definitely have an underlying tension of, this shit's going to be fucked up. We're not just going to watch a meal.
Yeah.
Like, we're not watching a meal for meal's sake. Some shit is going to go down in the way they beautifully build Rafe Fiennes' character. I would liken him to, like, a Chef Ramsay or an Emeril, someone who is an authoritarian, someone who has cooking shows, someone who is very arrogant, very...
like this Tyler guy.
Yeah, like you... they definitely, I think, used Chef Ramsay as an archetype.
Oh, yeah.
For this. Absolutely.
Now, I will even say that even for this, Chef Ramsay is a bit over the top. Even though this particular chef is unhinged as well.
With his mother at the dinner as well.
He's a
also note that for later.
I would like to know more about
that. She wasn't eating shit. She was just drinking her meal.
Well, yeah, because she knew what was about to happen.
She was taking it completely to the head.
Probably.
I mean,
hopefully. I feel like he let everybody know.
But when he leans in and puts his head next to hers, it was the creepiest shit. I'm like,
when they touch heads.
Yeah, I'm like, what's he doing? What's up with him? And I'm like, the first time in life, he's like, get him away from his mom. Like, no, we're not having it. This lady is the weirdest. Anaya, is that how you say it? Anya. I like Anaya better. I think that helps with the
looks. No,
she's white. It's Anya.
Is that how you say that?
She's not white. She's Portuguese.
Right, which is a form of white.
It's a form of Spanish.
We missed this.
Who are also considered white.
How do you... What is this? A mousse bouche?
I work for a bank. I have to ask people their nationality and race all the time.
Yeah, but if you tell somebody...
Hispanic is white.
She doesn't identify
as that. Is that how you say that? A mousse bouche?
A mousse bouche.
Bouche.
A mousse bouche.
That's the first course.
So like, first course.
It's like the aperitif.
And it looks like it's like fruit balls.
Yeah,
it does appear like to be
balls. Cucumber melons, milk snow, and I forget what the other ingredient.
Oh, and the food critic is not amused by the mousse bouche snow.
Yeah.
Snow is a plague.
Yeah, but I'd say the lady, his I don't know, dutiful assistant. She is
that Elsa chick,
a fucking piece of work, man. Good Lord. She's been under the watchful eye of him so long. She's serious.
Like, he's banging her.
The bros.
We find out later on they're banging, even though he's got a wife.
And then I love this where it just shows you how cunty
the bros,
the tech world guys can be, and also how privileged that they are from their ability to kind of move through any circle and gain access, even though, you know, they have the money to be in these high level places, but they're still, even though they have money, they're sophomoric, they're very immature, and so you get the
they have the ability to be in this setting, but they don't belong in this setting.
And it's a lot of talk about, oh, my dad did this, and my dad says that. And you can tell they're all trust fund babies. None of them made themselves.
No.
They were pre-made before they came out of the womb.
Right. And it's like the weirdest thing. It's a spin on the subject matter of this movie because, in a weird way, they're perfect for what the outcome is on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, they don't fit. They don't really deserve to be there because of them being kind of, you know, unable to act in the manner that you act in such civilized way in a restaurant of that caliber. Even the notion of asking for the bread and doing the things that they do is against the protocol of decorum in a restaurant of that caliber. So that I just like the way they played those characters to show them. Financially, they fit there, but personality-wise and attitude-wise, they're out of place.
As a person who has been in some fine dining situations, I found the guests to be very authentic. There was only one real true believer of culinary art in the entire room, other than the staff.
Right.
So the character played by Nicholas Holt, I mean, he is the only one that actually understands any of what's happening. The rest of them are just along for the ride for the street cred that they once ate at Hawthorne.
Right. But we don't find that out till like the end, do we? That he's in on what's going on.
Right. We do find that out later on in the show that he and Slowick have been communicating for several months, evidently. And
he's well aware of what's going to go
and
down.
He's well aware of what is to come, which we won't divulge.
Well, I mean, it's like one of those things where pacing it this way, and most of anybody listening should have seen this. Like, we shouldn't be debuting this to anybody. Like, there shouldn't be anybody going, I've not lifted a finger to interact with this movie in any way, and my first exposure to this movie would be listening to it on the Super Show.
Why not?
Now, I enjoy...
That sounds like a great place to start.
I'm saying that the Super Show, we started before this, so they need to have done some research.
Oh, so yeah, listen to more shows before you watch the menu.
So I really enjoy his monologue as the first course is beginning, and he asks, in very much a culinary highbrow way, he asks them, do not eat.
Yes.
Savor
the food.
You know, ponder. Like, he wants you to truly understand the fact that he is telling a story with this meal, and it's a very important story, but none of the audience knows, other than Nicholas Holt's character, none of the rest of the audience understands the story that they're in for this evening.
Right.
And neither does the audience, either.
Yeah.
And you just know some shit's going to happen.
The first course.
I couldn't see any redemption.
Literally a rock with a fucking scallop on top of it.
I didn't see any redemption in that meal to where I'm like, I don't belong there. Because there's nothing I could eat there. Like,
It's not really there to fulfill you
and where you walk out and your belly's full and you're like, I'm full. I need to lay down now. I've ate so much. It's like they even said, even in this movie, it's more about
the experience.
And not necessarily the filling of
the asshole says it's about the experience, but he was wrong.
Well, it looks like it was about the experience because the way it ends, the experience was an experience. you can't tell somebody, man, if I was you,
definitely an experience for Nick here. He fucking cries after the first course, so that was cute.
That was hilarious. He did a great job.
Nick and Anya's characters, I feel like, represent the audience. The audience, like anyone who's gonna watch this, is either going to be like Nick, who has been immersed in culinary shit. They hear about the menu and they're like, oh my God, I got to watch this movie. And then the rest of the audience is literally Anya Taylor's character, who's like, what the fuck even is this? I just want to be full. I'm here to eat. And
y'all got burgers?
Giving me rocks with adornments. And that's like, I can't eat a fucking rock. Right.
Right. And I like how, which I noticed in the food critic, she shows her pompous air by attempt attempting to diagram and break down and describe what his intention was with. Like, it's like a, you know, a novice person trying to explain, you know, Picasso's motivation behind a painting. Like, how the fuck would you know how a genius artist is motivated or why they do it? So I just found that that's really what critics do. So she was, like you said, she was a perfectly placed character type.
Yeah.
Like, they had to have that. And so really probably some of the most refreshing parts are the tech guys and how they embody their role as just royal assholes. And working in that environment, you get to know those kind of people, and I can just say from experience, it's very accurate.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Very accurate. And so it's good to see that the structure of the characters is authentic, and then that pulls you into the storytelling. Even if they're characters you're not familiar with, you can feel the authenticity, and that helps power you through the story. And, of course, you have, say her name again?
Anya.
I mean, or I can keep saying saying it my way.
Anaya.
You have to correct it.
Anya.
So either you correct me prior or just respond when I say Anaya.
Or you can just say it right.
Anya. That's why I asked you, what is it?
It's been demonstrated for you a dozen times. I don't understand. So
Anaya it is.
All right. That sounds great. Second course is the deconstructed bread dip shit. So the dip with no bread.
That was funny. Yeah, that was funny.
And that pissed everybody off for the most part. Except for the one dude loved it. He was sitting there spooning each of the dips out.
He was spooning that shit.
But the funny thing was, as I watched this, and I was like, that is ludicrous.
What do they call it? The regress bread plate.
But then I was like, when I seen him dipping and all of them eating the sauces, I was like, I wonder what that would taste like. So I was still kind of drawn in, which made the effect of what he was trying to accomplish with that
you
course
get no bread.
Perfect. And I even was like, man, I want the fucking bread.
The breadless bread plate.
The breadless bread plate. You can't beat that. And, you know, because there's a higher message here about this movie that really I feel...
There are several higher messages, I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though it has some revenge feel to it, because there's some bitterness on his part... And I watched
also his cook's part towards him. They're bitter towards him as well.
I watched the behind the scenes before the show about the making of this, and they were talking about a lot of the high end, the chefs and the pressure that they're under to create these perfect dishes every night for a new audience, and how even though they initially started with a love for this, it becomes kind of an obsession, and really, like they said, there's a lot of depression, a lot of incredible levels of pressure in that, just in the culinary industry when you get that high up.
And I think part of what this speaks to as well is the fact that
eat the rich.
So many of these high level chefs do all these things to the food that the person eating doesn't even understand.
Right,
like what the fuck is a bergamot? Like, you ate it, but you didn't even know you were eating it, and you didn't know why it was good. And so there is a frustration from the chef that the people eating his artistic creations don't even understand them.
And so for them,
it's just like, this tastes good.
This is good.
Yeah, and it's especially with the way those high end meals are prepared, and they're such small portions. It's set up just like you said for the taste, for you to get. Just like even said, don't eat it, taste it.
Well, that's why there's six fucking courses because, like, if you eat six different dishes, like they can't be big, otherwise you're going to be fucking full by the third one.
Right, and it's weird to me just because, like I said, I'm typically a kind of, well, obviously a Midwestern kind of bar food. And so that's weird to me.
Well done.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No pink. That's my standing order. So then they go, well done. I go, no.
You like all the other pink, but not there?
Yeah. I like big pink, but not the pink in the steak. So we come crashing into the park.
The memory.
Weird as shit to me.
Where he starts, tortillas that are burnt with images.
Oh, man. That was
excellent. I guess.
That was excellent. He talks about how he strangled his fucking father.
Yes.
To all of the diners, and everyone is like,
is he being serious? Did he actually strangle his father and stab him, or...
Yeah, stabbed him with scissors, right, or something like that?
In the leg. In the thigh, excuse me.
But I think even with this Anya lady, she's just oddly gorgeous, man.
Dude, I don't know what it is or why, but she, you cannot help but
look. And I don't know, because every time I look at her, I'm like, ooh, she's not a looker.
But she her is. But she is. So far apart.
Man, whoever discovered her was like, you, right now, for sure.
Well, it was supposed to be Emma Stone, so she beat out Emma Stone. Yeah.
Which, I also like Emma Stone.
I consider Anya to be superior to the Stone.
I do too. Although, I couldn't see Anya playing in Zombieland, though.
I love the way that they pepper the monitoring of their conversations into the dishes and the interactions with the staff. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, you know, if you talk some shit about a broken emulsion, he heard that shit.
Yes.
And he is going to teach you a lesson about opening your fucking mouth before the end of this night.
Did you notice the chicken that he served or whatever had the scissors in it, but also that it was on a wrapped up phone cord as the plate?
I didn't see the phone cord.
What? No, I did not see the phone cord.
I was distracted by the weird thing with all the toppers on it.
Phone cord.
Man, those chicken thighs are fucking
wrapped up around.
Yeah. Now, I will say that chicken looked good.
It went with that his chicken story. Looked good. The chicken was probably the best looking thing.
Now, he'd have had me with that.
Either that or the s'more.
Yeah. Yeah, now the s'more was a little weird. The
s'more was a person s'more.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Why do you want to eat a person s'more?
Oh.
Just the s'more in general.
Man, this was probably...
cannibal.
I'm not going to lie. This was probably my favorite part of the entire movie was the tortillas. Just because that was raw genius how they did that.
Yes.
And then that was my first indicator that because I was just the entire time up to this point... Where the fuck is this going?
Man, he really did not like that movie. This feels
weird, but it could still end peacefully. Like, I didn't have a, okay, if you get halfway through a Jason movie, you know people are going to die.
When we saw the corporate secrets of the tech bros, then you knew.
Yes, it had got dark.
This evening is going to end badly for someone.
Yes.
And it's probably not slower.
But I'm gonna give the writers for this movie a bell and a round of applause because that is an ingenious technique they did putting those pictures on the tortillas. That was well done.
They can do that.
Yeah, so, that was well done. That
does happen in real life.
I like that, and I noticed that it drove the story because if you paying close attention, those images show pieces of the story as to why they were chosen.
Like, each person gets their reckoning, and the reckoning begins on those tortillas.
Yes. And I also felt like this had some very, although on a darker tone, but a Fantasy Island type, you feel there's going to be a reckoning of some sort, but you don't know what it is until a certain point.
At this point, I thought it was going to be like, what's it called? The where the guy hunts people on the island. Deadliest Game or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be one of those. Like, okay, now that I've got your secrets, you guys go out. I'm going to come get you. Because
quite honestly, I don't feel that they made the connection between that part of this is punishment for those types of secrets. Like, even with, if you notice, how they had Margo on the tortillas. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
She was on the tortillas, and then this part was creepy as fuck. This is right when I started to go when the guy carries the wings through the field at dusk.
While she's smoking out.
Well, she's smoking out.
Holy shit!
And then it just keeps getting worse
because
Slowick walks in the women's bathroom
and locks the fucking door.
Starts talking to her ass.
I was like, oh god.
I'm like, but
yeah, I didn't know if we were gonna get a little rapey here or what happen.
Yeah, that unnerved me, but it fit his character. Like the whole, he's imposing without doing anything.
You've barely eaten your food. Yes. Why? Yes. Tell me why.
I have passion. I care about this. Why?
Yeah. And it's kind of a precursor to
about the smoking the cigarette thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
The
Nick dude is like, you don't need to be smoking. It messes with your palate.
Yeah. But
she's like, I don't give a fuck about my palate, bro. But I suck dick for a living.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was gonna say.
But as we find out later,
you know, but shit's been on her tongue. What are you talking about?
As we find out later, he can spot a service worker from a mile away, and I think he just. Like he's not gonna fuck with her because he understands the pressure of kowtowing to fucking rich assholes all the time. So he's not gonna fucking
a man of that power, I would have while we were in that bathroom kind of throughout the. So what's the rate on this? You know, like say if somebody you know was kind of interested. What's old boy Nick? What's he paying?
We're getting the first indications.
He bought her to come on the adventure.
Yeah, so dirty.
In that bathroom scene, we're getting the first indications that some shit is gonna go down because he tells her he's like, "Who are you?"
You're not supposed to be here.
He's like, "You are not supposed to fucking be here."
Right. Right,
and this is where shit starts popping off.
Like, there's a plan.
There is a plan
in place.
So we're at the fourth course.
Fourth course.
Before we get deep into this, let's take a quick break. Come back and be clear headed, so we can have our palate cleansed
before we get empty headed
for the fourth course meal.
And which is what a fucking course.
What is the fourth course? We'll be back.
What's his name's Mess?
Yes. The Mess. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll be the back mess. In a second.
My God. Name is Camille Deville, international supermodel. The Super Show will be back after a word from our sponsor.
What is up, all of the millions of listeners to the Super Show? My name is Michael Brown. I am the hat ambassador, professional hatter, cigar sommelier, and the man behind the brand, Hats and Cigars. Look, I just wanted to say real quick that when I'm home in beautiful Miami Beach and I'm smoking a premium cigar and sipping on a fine cognac, my favorite pastime is listening to the Super Show. Now go download. Oh, and remember, keep a cigar in your grip. A drink at your lips, and a hat for your fit. Hats and cigars, baby.
More of the Super Show coming up after a word from our sponsors.
This is Bobby Karate, Super Show super fan and rumored illegitimate son of Boba Fetish. For the way I fennec shanded Brittany Hansen while her parents were asleep upstairs, I'm here with today's sponsor, Kinky Jimmy's Roller Rink and Wild Pet Sanctuary. Come on down to the rink. Open Friday from 7 p.m. until the cops come. They have the sickest DJ. DJ Safety Sam on the laptop program. Banging out all the hits. Free song requests if you bring in a wayward wild animal. This place is jumping like Tracy McGrady. All my friends come here and we love it. Nice space near the lockers for sparring and nunchuck battles. Lots of sneaky duck off spots to give hickeys out of the view of prying eyes. Practically no supervision, Kinky Jimmy will serve you beer if you promise not to tell. That's Kinky Jimmy's Roller Rink and Wild Pet Sanctuary. Just look for the windowless van, off of I-95 by the abandoned warehouse near the Smith Coal Refinery. It's in the old sawmill behind the refinery. Can't miss it. Tell them Bobby sent you. You'll get a 20-ounce fountain drink after you pay for it.
A windowless van. Man.
Just look for the windowless van. Live back in the salon. It is the Super Show, episode 45, the Jordan episode. We are watching the menu. Jordan. Yeah, the unretired Jordan. We're watching the menu. We are at course 4, which is, what's his name's mess?
The Mess. I don't think it's called anybody's.
Yeah, it's somebody's the mess.
Somebody's the mess.
It's the name of that sous chef.
Jeremy's Mess.
Jeremy's Mess, yeah.
Jeremy
Loudon.
So
he's the sous chef, so he's number two.
He's kind of beefy, too. Like
we've been playing to this point. No, they didn't give you anything to this point. You've just kind of been meandering along, mm-hmm. just kind of... What's about to, and I'm saying this in a good way,
not knowing and having the mystery of where this is going. It seems kind of weird, but could still go peaceful. Seems kind of, should I laugh at some of this? Is this going to go darker? And I'm saying that it took me out of my element of so many Marvel movies, so many DC movies. You kind of can get a pace with them. Mm-hmm. Like, you can kind of be like, oh, this, if it hasn't happened, this has to happen in the movie at some point. And this took me out of, you have no idea what's about to happen.
This was like a better M. Night like Shyamalan
belittling
movie.
Him.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
It has a little Shyamalan in it.
A much more dark version.
Yes, but and I'll say
it's just always dark, a better but it's version better and not stupid.
Okay. Yeah, that's 95% of his movies are stupid.
Turns out to where you like,
where it's not really dark. It's just like a dude like in a fucking wolf costume or something stupid. You know what I mean?
Trying to tell me this bitch is living in a pool?
Man, come on, come on. Them motherfuckers was living down the street from Village Pantry, man, and they were scared to go out of the fucking past the fence. That shit, they had me at first. Don't get me wrong, that shit was creepy.
Yes.
It had me. And then,
but like Signs, the alien one.
What the fuck?
No, what was the one with the where they were living in the woods and they were like religious people?
Oh, the village.
The village. Yeah. That was one of his.
That was crazy. The one where the dude dressed up as a something weird.
Yeah,
to, like,
fucking monster. Yeah, fucking so they would
forest.
Be too scared to leave.
Shit, and like you said, they were like right around the corner from the VP.
So this, just like this restaurant, that this is high quality, M. Night Shyamalan. If M. Night Shyamalan was a quality
was
film,
better. If he was a better director.
Yeah, if he was a better director, this is what it would look like.
Yep.
And so, man.
And I love this because
the way he just dresses this motherfucker down, he's like, he won't be me. He won't be as good as me ever.
Yeah, he says he's good, but he's not great.
And I'll tell you, the creepiest part of this is when the Sous-Chefs, all of them, close the plastic.
Jeremy's the mess.
When they close the plastic, and now it gets fucking real.
Fucking blows
his head out. Now there's no going back.
This dude's brains just shot across the room, and everyone, including the audience themselves, are like, was that real? Was that fake? Did that actually happen? Because it happens sort of so quickly, and you never see the back of his head. He could have easily had a prosthetic and everything else.
Yep.
But they wrap his ass up in plastic and take his corpse out.
Yes. But John Leguizamo's assistant, she's bangable.
For sure.
And I mean,
you know me, I love the Latinas.
Yeah, and I understand why he was begging her not to go. Because I was kind of like, bro, you better beg her not to go, motherfucker. Oh, so she was a good look. And I tell you, Edith Light, who was, if I'm not mistaken, she was on Who's the Boss back in the 80s.
I can't confirm that, nor deny it.
I think she was on Who's the Boss. She's a medium level.
Bro, they were cleaning blood off mom's face.
And she did not react. His mother is fucking bananas.
She sat there and watched.
Now, that phone cord got the better of her for sure.
Yeah, that was brutal. And I didn't make that connection until now that was that case after you did that. Give a bail to that. But she plays an excellent drunk person.
No one's trying to leave. It's like, nobody's doing anything. Like, everyone is just sort of fucking paralyzed. The mess.
R.I.P.
Jerry Loudon.
Yeah, that was terrible.
And he screams, eat! God, dude. Fucking crazy.
Homie, the old dude tries to leave. The Lady of the Night's customer.
Yeah, I mean, finally someone tried to leave.
Well,
but I mean,
it didn't work out.
But the thing is like, if they would have all left together by force, they probably could have. But they just don't. Like, they're literally cows at a slaughterhouse.
Right.
Yes.
Side note, did you know cows cannot walk backwards?
Homie's about to lose.
They can stampede, but they don't.
Yep. And so that's a great point, because he even mentions to them about the fact that they did not try very hard to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, it worked out well when the one guy that tried got his fucking finger chopped off.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And while his finger's being chopped off, Nick is back there stuffing his fucking face.
He's loving it.
Now, I'm going to tell you, Nick
has no care in the world.
I think he's the only one that's eating.
But Nick's character loses potency on rewatches once you know the punch of this movie.
Yeah.
Because then there's a lot of moments where you're like, this dude knew. Like
that reinforms the future watches, because the first time through, you don't think he knows. And then when you watch it a second and third time, you know that he knows, and now you're seeing everything that he did while knowing.
Yes, yes. And that knowing is gross.
It is.
And Chef, he fits...
Especially the man. We'll get to that.
He fits the outcome because that was grimy.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it until obviously in the movie, he points out how grimy his decision was. The chef points out how grimy that decision was.
Yes, yes, he does. And he has a moment again with Margot, and it's like, I've served a bunch of Margos. You're not a Margot. She's like, I've served some Margos too, bro.
Wish I was there for that.
She served some Margos too.
He said, he said something about like this evening has like been planned, like painstakingly planned or something like that, and you're ruining it by not eating my fucking food and watching this guy get his brains blown out. She's like, what the fuck does it matter who I am?
I think she's really ruining it because she's in the wrong place.
Yes.
She's on the wrong side of the line that has been drawn in the sand by this evening.
But, you know, it's kind of like the damage of her lifestyle. I'm not going to get too heavy, but this explains what the spin is that another reason why the ultra-rich, exposed, experienced people didn't leave is because in a position of being so rich, you feel protected. So the notion of a death happening in front of you doesn't trigger you to be like, I gotta flee for my safety. Like, you have the illusion of, I'm too rich to be in danger. Surely this would not apply to me in any way. Well, with her in the lifestyle she's led, she's basically the opposite. She's at all things are threat level, so she immediately wants to get out of here. She doesn't feel safe, and that ruins the experience because they needed all of the people to be naively
to be
rich
buttholes.
And set in the actual moment of this experience rather than this sucks. I'm getting out of here, which explains why none of them tried to leave. Also, yep. Being rich
she,
people,
gets
how
the 15-minute ultimatum from Chef to tell him who the fuck she is.
He even sets a timer, too.
Yeah, he gets there with the kitchen timer, the egg timer.
But the Edith Light character, the way she plays drunk, and when they just every once in a while pan to her, and she's just sitting there with that drunk face, I'm like, well done. She's not necessarily a standout actress, but this is hilarious too.
Yep.
When he decides to break out, but it was funny to me because like
chair the fucking window,
nobody even stops him.
Even
like,
they don't even give a shit.
You're fucking dumb.
I just think he couldn't break
it
because he's just
tea,
a pansy IT guy. Like that was what the point was. Like had that been an NFL player or something, he could have broke through. But having him, he can't even throw a chair through a window.
I don't know, man. That looked pretty bulletproof.
Nah. He's
so the Asian chick maitre d' is pretty fucking awesome as well.
Yes.
I mean, in her performance, I don't.
Yes, she did.
Like Elsa.
Well, wait. I thought Elsa was John Leguizamo's chick.
No, Elsa's the Asian.
The Asian. Is she a maitre d'? I'm not exactly sure what she is.
Basically,
a waiter
like his
captain.
She's the actress's name is Hong Chow.
Hong Chow. Yeah.
Hong Chow.
She's been in several things, and I really appreciate her. Like
she was in The Watchmen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
American Woman. And she was in the new movie from hometown hero Brandon Fraser, The Whale.
Oh, he's in The Whale. She's in The Whale?
The Whale. The Whale.
Wow.
Yeah. He eats her in the second act.
That's fucked up.
So everybody's got their tea in this course.
And it's this incremental ratcheting.
See, look
up
in the background.
The
look at her. Drunk.
Oh, yeah.
A great
old
face.
Old lady is drunk for sure.
She is fucking pissy drunk.
Bro, she spent her life drunk. When is she not drunk?
Yeah. And they really picked scoundrelly, kind of slimy people.
I love how he blows up his spot because he's only been there 5 or 6 with his wife.
Yeah.
And brought mistresses.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chef's like, no, it's 11 times, buddy.
I loved how that was kind of, because she did the math. You see her sitting there doing the math.
Yep. She's like, I haven't been here 11 times.
And I like how this has very revenge movie undertones. But because it's really revenge against, like you said, eating the rich. Look at her.
Everybody is. Obviously, there's one person that is typically the person. Like, he doesn't like this couple, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like the Tyler guy singularly. He wouldn't have given a shit about the girl that he was bringing, you know what I mean? So it's not necessarily everybody there. Some people are just guilty by association,
which is good. I mean, which is good because it adds that element of.
But it's also
what
true.
The fuck's going on.
But it's also true. If you're married to a fucking industry titan who has stepped on every person along the way, ruined people, even perhaps murdered people, like. If you're married to that guy, you know who he is, and yeah. By association, you are guilty.
And it just, when we set out to do this movie, I didn't know what to expect. And I kind of had a predetermined opinion, and I'll say that that's totally been blown out of the water because what it got me with was the pacing. The pacing was genius
yes.
because mm-hmm. it threw me off. Like I said a little earlier, I couldn't predict where this was going. I had some kind of feelings that clearly this is going to have a culmination, but I didn't know what. And I'm just saying that it was so refreshing to go through that. And really, in today's movie climate, you don't get a lot of opportunities. They're very formulaic. This mm-hmm. is a very against type style movie. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't say this is just like, even when we're trying to compare it, we're comparing the movie making technique to M. Night Shyamalan, but not the writing, not the movie itself. So that's like a really high mark for this movie that it's not falling into a rut that we're familiar with.
Exactly.
And that's very easy to do now. Like, because, I mean, 80% of what we watch now is just shit. I mean, of all the genres.
Formulaic shit. Yes, sir. Really. So we have reached the point where they have suspended Doug Varick by wires with the angel wings that we saw earlier. Because he is a quote-unquote angel investor.
Yes.
And
because he questioned his menu during COVID, is what he said. He asked for substitutions, and there are no substitutions.
There are no substitutions at all, Lord! Rookies forever!
I didn't get that. We love Rondies.
Rookies forever!
So they just straight lowered out into the water.
So Anya has been summoned to the chef's office at the expiration of the egg timer.
I'll go.
And she is very scared at this point, and it is clearly telling Chef what she thinks he wants to hear.
Correct.
I like her. She's also, fun fact, she was in Peaky Blinders.
She was.
She was in Peaky Blinders.
She was also in an M. Night Shyamalan movie, Split.
She absolutely, that was like her breakout role.
She was the other main character.
I wonder, was this the idea for this movie familiar. Just something M. Night Shyamalan said on set one day and she took it and ran with it?
I mean, honestly, I feel like Split got her this job and probably put her in the conversation to begin with. And let's just say it, I mean, she beat Emma Stone for the role. So
Yeah, she
killed it. And she's prettier than her. So
and skinnier
and skinnier.
Nice combo with like Chef. Skinny.
Yep. The conversation is that we're out of here. There's going to be. It is now clear that she's aware that it's not going to be a good evening.
And we're going outdoors for a short jaunt, in which we get to hear how one of his sous chefs rebuffed his advances.
Yes.
When he tried to put his thang thang on her.
His thang thang.
Yeah.
And then he, after she said no twice, he ignored her for like 6 months or a year or some shit? Like,
just talked to her.
Didn't say a word to her, even though they were working together.
Sometimes you got it, man.
I mean, you could tell he hit on the wrong one because that girl is into girls. So,
well, still,
there was no reason for him to try to violate her vagina with an actual real penis. It should have been plastic.
She was not.
Wow, that was inappropriate.
Very fancy, that's for sure.
I mean, but shout out to all of our LGBTQ+. Listeners who may be chick on chick active, we encourage that.
We are a friend to the lesbian community. Yeah,
so make sure if that's the case, do whatever you're doing while listening to the
Super
Show.
We love y'all
in the background. So don't forget that. We're just here cracking a few jokes, but we love you guys as we do all of our millions of listeners.
Millions.
With a B. So we are seeing, and she creeped me out too, this the chef chick.
I know.
When she showed up in the scene.
I'm all confused.
Especially
when she's
the next scene where they sit at the table.
Well, if he's the man, then why aren't you banging?
Yeah, right. It's like, how do we get to a point where this dude is at the top of the food chain in an industry that you...
Yeah, I thought she stabbed his dick at first.
I did, too.
Ooh. I was like, oh, my God.
And as much as I would not want to be stabbed there...
That's dick blood that you just wiped on his jacket?
I really, felt that they chipped out on it. Like, man. I feel like that was in the original script.
I thought that I was cool with this movie up until this point, and I was like, oh, he just agreed for him to stab his dick off. I can't be down with this shit.
Because I'd be like, nah.
But it's the thigh, because... The kitchen scissors in the thigh, like he did to his dad, she is now doing to him. Correct. So that was the symbolism of that was great. But I think also if he actually got stabbed in the dick, like in reality, like you're not doing much more that night. And yeah, he had a lot left to do.
Yeah.
He's just like, just make sure you don't stab me in the artery. That'll kill me in 10 minutes.
Right. Right,
so give me a slow bleed so I can make it
through. Which is why she went straight top thigh.
Yeah,
because if you get anything on the side of that thigh, buddy,
they let all the guys go.
Guys get 45 seconds head start.
They're not catching me. I'm not even talking about speed or none of that. They're not catching me. They would have to explain in this movie that they had cameras watching them, because I don't believe they'd have caught all of them that night and that quick.
Oh, bro, there's cameras.
There has to be, because they're not catching me.
Bro, there's cameras, and Elsa's got the little earpiece, and she's like, there, and there.
They didn't even look for dude in the chicken coop. They just opened it up and handed him his dessert that he won.
But you know what? They knew his ass was there.
When they opened that, if you notice the way they served it, it was in a like little a bird's nest.
Yeah. It was great.
Gangster.
I'm not gonna lie. That was tight. That was fucking tight. I will agree. That was fucking tight. And I was like, is that a...
Yeah, all the chefs go get him, though.
And they got that get out run. Remember the dude that ran in the middle of the night and get out?
And those chefs are built like
the sixth course, Man's Folly.
Man's Folly. Dungeness crab, fermented yogurt.
Gross.
That's weird.
Sick, dude.
That's what I'm saying,
rotten man. Yogurt and fucking crab.
I don't get the fermentation. Although the fork, that gold fork is sick, son. That's class right there. Oh, wow. At that level of that level of restaurant,
that would be concerning.
It might be plated at Red Lobster, but his shit, that's a gold fork.
But gold is... the problem is it gets fucked up. Like, gold is, like, it gets dents and scratches, and, I mean, it's, like, it would have to be, like, 10-karat gold to be functional.
10-karat gold
forks. And that's not the color of 10-karat.
10-karat gold forks. Yeah.
So the chicks are the ones that get to have the man's folly while they're all out running around trying to hide from the chefs that catch them in 5 minutes, oddly.
And she creeps me out with how excited she is about culmination.
Sure. Oh, that's a lesbian ending. For sure, though. Like, well, in real life.
Not very long.
That chick does not like dudes.
And why does he look like Stanley Tucci? Did you notice that?
He does have a little bit of the Tucci in him.
I bet he's made. You never know in Hollywood. It's all nepotism. So he's probably Stanley Tucci's son, Danley Tucci.
It's Aaron.
They look closer in age.
And I loved how they broke her down. Like, yeah, bitch, you look you more like a fucking Aaron.
Go ahead.
From like, Boston.
She didn't even ask. She just lit the fuck up.
Because she's fucking.
She already knows what's going on.
She's an Aaron from Boston.
She's seen a dude stabbed. Intentionally.
What do you mean?
The dude shot himself
in the head. She's seen a dude blow his fucking brains out at dinner.
She knows. And dude got his fucking finger cut off. I mean, shit's happening.
That will affect my appetite, man. And I got a pretty hearty appetite. I thought that was funny. He came in with the muddy shoes.
Yeah, the muddy loafers.
He was on his way out of there. But I like how...
to him. He made it pretty far.
Tyler, he didn't go anywhere. And that's what I'm saying.
He didn't want to,
That kind of ruins it on the additional watches, because I couldn't for the life of me, why didn't he go? I mean, he really loves this food, but he knew, you see, so, which still doesn't say anything, because he's prepared to die with this experience.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is bizarre to me.
Why are you letting the cat out of the bag? People are dying?
Who?
Tell us.
Yes, that's what this is. Well, I was going to ask you guys. I think at this point we all know we're going to die. What is this movie? As I was watching, trying to explain
it. I guess like a thriller or
is
suspense.
It's
a thriller.
It's not a horror movie.
No, it's suspense thriller.
Suspense thriller. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with suspense thriller. Because I was watching, like, it's got some kind of horror elements because of it progressively gets creepier and darker. But at the same time, it's not violent enough where you'd say, yeah, this is a horror, you know, where the horror movie to me is the person is in terror throughout, you know, they're screaming, there's people popping up in the dark. This kind of had some slight horror aspects, but because of the fine dining pitch added to it, it takes away some of the, you know, well, you know, it might be a chainsaw death, but the chainsaw is diamond coated and the person using the chainsaw is in a three-piece suit, so it's kind of not the same. Like that's how I took it, as it was like maybe horror for rich people.
Right.
Because that would be
highbrow like, horror.
Highbrow horror.
No, highbrow.
I like it. So, you know, we're watching Voldemort really put on it. He's really the crowning achievement in this movie.
For sure. He is exposing Nicholas Holt's character's devious nature.
You hired her knowing that she would die.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I loved how she just jumped on him. You could see,
she came out swinging. Yeah, I like that. Bro.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that thoroughly as well.
Yeah, I think had she really been a high class rich person, I don't think she would have reacted that way.
Not at all.
Just because they typically, you know, success and power takes away some of that natural fight in you to survive, you know, where you're stuck in an elevator.
You're fat and docile.
Yes, you know, stuck in an elevator, a poor person, or in her particular case, a sex worker. I don't know. She said
a lady of the night.
So it doesn't quite say.
That's a sex worker.
Yeah, but there's the chicks that, like the girlfriend experience where they just hang out with you and spend your money. That's what I thought this was. Well,
that's a sugar baby.
So
an escort bangs you.
So you so
and goes places.
So let's be hypothetical. Right.
Goes places so with you in public, then bangs you.
Did he bang before, or was the plan to bang? Well, it couldn't have been after because he knew that the night.
No, because he was that's when the going to bang her. I don't believe. Yeah. At least in his mind, he knew he was gonna he wasn't making it off the island.
So I'm saying, so to you, so you know it's gonna be at the end of this dinner. It is the end of your life. And you're with an escort. You're not in the bathroom. You're not doing nothing.
They don't see single tape.
I know. I'm saying I'm banging this chick before it's over. I'm not.
But they won't even let you go to the bathroom.
That's
man.
True too.
Bro, they're like eyeing your ass. They have their eyeballs on you.
But look at Edith Light. She looks drunk. I love it.
And now we are forcing Nicholas Holt's character to cook a meal, which
a shitty meal.
Well, he's trying, actually, but yeah.
But he put him in a position that really wasn't fair anyway, though. So, but I guess he's been around him. He knows him, so there's some training there. His expectation.
They've been around each other. They've just been corresponding.
Good point. And then I see the rest of them just kind of standing and watching him.
Shit, that's kinda a lot of butter.
Yeah, so much fucking butter.
I don't know. I've seen that. There's a new recipe.
Leeks, lamb,
I saw
and
where
potato.
They literally fry a steak.
In butter, yeah.
Like, submerge the steak.
That's normal.
Submerge the steak. It's in butter. Like, this much butter.
They're not spooning it on top?
No.
Submerge. Like, people will actually
deep fry a steak
in butter.
In butter. Okay.
Yeah. They'll, like, sear the outside so it gets, like, a crisp, and then it, you know, just cooks
and
it.
And then until all that butter cooks down.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it with bone marrow, too.
Bone marrow should be used as a condiment on top of the steak. Yeah. It shouldn't be used to actually
I've never
cook
seen
the steak
bone
in the
marrow.
What? You just saw it in the mess.
I saw the bone.
I find it to be disgusting.
The marrow is what's on the inside. It's basically like all fat, isn't it?
But what's it like? What's the texture? If you saw it, what would it? What other thing could you compare
fat,
it to?
It's not fat. It's just marrow. Like it. But it has a savory quality to it, and I'm sure there's some fatty compounds inside, but. Yeah, it's not fat. It's different. It's just fucking weird. And just like foie gras is weird. Like, if you've ever... Do you know what foie gras is?
I saw it on Bizarre Foods.
So basically, they force feed geese to make their liver burst. And after their liver bursts, you want that liver.
Gross.
Like they literally force
no bell for that.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. It's considered torture in a lot of places.
Yeah,
like a lot, I believe some countries outlaw foie gras, but I know for sure certain restaurants won't serve it due to the ethics of it.
Foie gras. How do you spell that?
Foie gras. F-O-I-E space G-R-A-S. It is the
French culinary dish.
Yeah.
It is the fat of the liver, a specialty product made from the liver of a duck or a goose.
Which, but they have to force feed it, so it's like...
It's called gavage, force feeding. Yeah. Yikes. Yikes.
Like it's basically... They put a funnel down this fucking goose's throat and just shove shit down there.
Pumping it up. Fucking marinating it while it's alive.
Well, it's not even a marinade. It, like, all the carbs, like...
Because pump up the liver.
Right, when you eat carbs, they mustard, get deposited. Seeds
and spring
onions. Dude, it's fucking weird.
Juice.
It is weird.
Mustard seeds is about the only thing there that I would be down for.
Yeah, if they crushed them up and put them in liquid form in a yellow bottle.
I don't know. You get a hold of some mustard seeds on stuff?
We have reached a pivotal point where Chef Slowick is asking Anya Taylor-Johnson's character to go procure something. Procure something. Well, that's not her real name.
Aaron's a real name.
Her real name is Aaron. So she is asked to procure something from a special storage room.
A barrel.
And you see Elsa in the background giving her the eye daggers.
The eye daggers.
Man. And that. And as she's looking, we will see her find a radio where she will radio for help. And then eventually does end up where the barrel is. Elsa confronts her, and we get to see a chick fight.
Absolutely. Which no movie is complete without.
Not that she didn't know that everybody was dying anyway, the Elsa chick. But she was butthurt that she forgot the barrel. She's like, I'm going to go kill that bitch because she's going to die anyway.
It's not even that she forgot it. She never knew about the barrel.
Right.
Like, Chef never told her, and so she comes to kill Anya Taylor-Johnson's character so she won't be replaced, which she seems really odd in retrospect because, I mean, there's only like an hour left of her life,
so
how's she getting replaced in the last hour?
Bow, bow.
Like, that part of it was really the only thing that I didn't understand.
Yep.
Maybe it was like replace her in Chef's heart for all of eternity since they're all going to heaven or something.
Something weird.
She definitely feels threatened by Anya.
She's got a great walk, too.
Man. She's got a great everything, dude.
Yeah. She's a star.
We do see whenever she does this that she finds a, like, kind of a secret room, I guess, for lack of a better term, that, has some old pictures of Slowick and some of his accomplishments and shit like that.
See his accomplishments, his pictures in youth. You get to see where he came from and what he looked like.
From a burger joint.
When he was idealistic and just making burgers when he first got started. Which will come back to be relevant a little bit later toward the end here.
And towards the end, so we're going to take a quick break because we're getting towards the end, and we'll come back and finish up. We're in Act 3. As soon as we take a quick break, we'll be back in a second.
You heard it here first. Another exclusive track. Right now. Brand new banger. Brand new banger.
You are just jamming the vibes from the Super Show. And when I'm on the internet, I listen to DJ Safety Sam on VTax FM. 808.8 on your FM dial. That's funk modulation. Turn it up or turn it off.
Brand new banger. Brand new banger.
When I'm not hitting the skins or pissing off the cleaning lady, I'm on the internet listening to WTAX, WeTax FM, 808.8 on the dial. Turn it up or turn it off.
Banger. Brand new banger. Brand new banger.
We are currently experiencing technical problems. Please sit by.
This is Stumpy Sampson back with another sponsor. Apache Chiefs, Drive-Thru Car Wash, Discount Casino, and Country Music Recording Studio. Play the slots from your car to win a free recording demo, because let's be honest, you're a fucking degenerate. No free parking, park your bitch ass on the street. Located directly in front of Donnie's Discount Meat Warehouse, just look for the Open Field Diner off of I-95 and Malcolm X Boulevard by the pond behind the abandoned warehouse near the Smith Coal Refinery.
And just like that,
park your bitch ass on the street.
We are back
on the fucking street
in the salon talking about the menu. We are in Act 3. This is a super show, episode 45. The Return of Jordan episode. Jordan
Return.
And we join right in the middle of the epic chick fight between Elsa, who doesn't want to lose her spot for the last hour of her life, and
chick fight!
Margot Aaron, our Boston prostitute.
Our Boston toot.
our Boston toot. So,
but, is she from like a suburb?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. But
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, man, this is a good fight.
She fucking hits
and
her
she
with
got hit in the face God. With a Paco Jet.
With the Paco Jet. Yes, man, I like
she
that.
Smoked her with
I like
only,
that.
Who only Nicholas Holt knows what that does.
But it's funny because it's like, hey, you're dealing with a fucking prostitute from Boston, bro. You're going to get your fucking throat stabbed out.
Stabbed
for
sure. Out.
You're just a chick that works at a highfalutin restaurant.
Right. This is a lady of the night. This she's been lady, in situations.
But she's from fucking Boston. She's a lady of the day, too. She did her in.
So, a Paco Jet is a real thing, mm-hmm. by the way. It's used to make sorbets, ice creams, farces, mousses, soups, concentrates, and other.
And it can make snowflake type.
Evidently.
That's what he said. It can make snowflake type patterns and materials.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
And so I didn't.
Oh, he was married and he had a kid.
He did. And then he starts Slow looking. At us. Then he looks shitty in all of his pictures. I guess we jumped the gun on this. She finds it after she kills Elsa.
Well, that's true.
Same thing.
There's only one picture, though, where he's smiling. Look at that. Yeah. Employee of the month at Hamburger Howie's.
Yep,
hamburger
see?
Howies.
He's making just a plain hamburger.
Yep, note that for later.
And so he just becomes basically bitter and angry at the pomp and circumstance of the world that he's a part of.
Why is the barrel an actual beer keg? That's what I didn't understand.
Right, it was supposed to be gas.
It's like a beer keg. Yeah. It was very, very much a beer keg.
But it's rich people. We don't know how they keep their gas. They might keep it in beer cans.
They
might
keep it in their ass.
It's about a tight asses in here. So I see that we are at the point where it's starting to become clear what's going to happen. Like, we're starting to see all the details come in front of us, and everybody's pretty frazzled, and everybody's kind of getting to the point where, what do we do now? I do like when he shows that from years of really kind of pain and suffering, iron. And he can carry cast iron without burning his hand.
And well, his hand's burnt. He just doesn't mind
He can't feel it. I mean, it still burns. He just can't feel it.
Well, if you don't feel it, does it burn?
Well, to your skin, yes. Brain, no.
I mean, so then, that's like if you got shot and it didn't hurt, did you get shot?
Did he just quote Martin Luther King?
Too soon.
Too soon.
A great line for him. And it was just great. That was a good exchange there.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And I love how Anya is so pleased with herself for getting help to come.
The radio.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And just the Coast farce Guard. Of the Coast Guard guy.
I knew it was sketchy when it was only one of them.
Right. They don't ever come solo. There's at least two.
He's gonna walk in with no backup of any kind. Start asking some fucking questions.
He doesn't look like a cop either.
So he literally sent her there for this part of the experience. And his mom's still back in the back, just pitifully drunk.
I don't know about pitiful, but she's drunk.
Well, she's pitiful because her head's down. She's slumped. She hasn't said a word. But my favorite person in the entire movie is Edith Light.
That's by definition.
Yeah, mom stayed drunk the whole time.
She stayed drunk the entire
time. She did.
Well, she knew this was her last hurrah. I tell you, I like the assistant. I'm like, come on, Leguizamo, you gotta seal the deal.
He's clearly not a cop, otherwise he would notice all of the facial injuries and the blood and the missing finger.
Right, right. Or the fact that all of them are just sitting there and like, racing to him immediately.
Right.
Which I would have been standing behind him and instantly, kill all of them! Shoot them all! But no.
Calling Dr. Sunshine.
So the Coast Guard pretends like he loves Calling Dr. Sunshine, the shit fucking movie.
Yeah.
That got that about to John Leguizamo
that,
here.
That was
in the
pretty tight.
In
that
the
was
first
pretty tight.
Place.
Yeah. I like that. That was pretty tight because it just harkens back to how bad apparently that movie sucked. So they need to do that movie. Look, you put the help us.
Help us.
And we sit on, we sit baited, waiting for the the reveal. He pulls out the
and
gun.
Slug totally set him up. He's like, "Give him an autograph." Like, "Come on, buddy."
Yeah.
And of course,
yeah,
Slug totally
like a
set
room
him up.
Of 50 people is manageable from one dude with a gun.
Although, if you start shooting motherfuckers, you start getting some compliance.
Yeah, 9/11 showed you. You start shooting motherfuckers, and there's 30 of us. We better all as a team.
Well,
rush.
9/11 had a box cutter.
Hey,
I mean,
all I need to see is one person get cut, and then we're all going.
I don't know.
That drunk chick.
Yeah,
she's hilarious.
She looks like I wouldn't be surprised if they go. We actually served her real liquor on set. Because she looks.
Had to keep her saucy.
She's got the slack dangling jaw when your muscles start to kind of slow down because you're so fucking drunk. And then you see that clearly he's looking like, get him. And then they realize something's not right. They realize something's not right.
There's nothing right here.
Yeah, nothing's been right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It was a lighter.
Yeah, when he lights the candle.
It's the same candle that he put out by hand a minute ago.
She just sits there staring at that shit, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Dale.
Thanks, Dale.
Thanks, Dale, for the performance.
You're the real MVP here.
You're the real MVP here. Thanks, Dale. And he's like, I did my part.
And then she as in Aaron.
Margot Aaron. The prostitute from Boston.
She gets him with the burger.
Yeah, that was clever. That was clever. And she did his technique with the hand clap. She did the loud hand clap to get his attention. Because they're all hopelessly ready to, I wouldn't say they're ready to die, but they have no clue as to what to do.
Mom knows what's coming.
Yeah, she's been knowing, I'd imagine. So, especially since he's been fucking weird since the strangling. I'm sure she's seen a lot of odd shit that doesn't take place in this movie that she's like, man.
Why do you have a drawer full of telephone cords? Like, oh, no, it just affected me different, Mom.
Man, this chick is gorgeous. She is just gorgeous. That's all I can say.
She hits him with the clap.
Ooh.
Look, and they all snap to attention. They
I don't like your food.
What did you say?
I said, I don't like your food. I don't want to send
uh-oh.
It.
Look, and, I mean, and
she's bold. The last dude that sent his shit back just got fucking angel winged.
I got that's angel winged.
It's like, I don't want that shit. I need a substitution.
But she knew the strategy.
But she's different. He knew, like, he already defined her as not one of them. She's one of us.
Right. Right.
And so she was the only person in that room that could do that.
Yeah. The Last of Us.
Speaking of Last of Us, if you're into that show, let us know because we're trying to get an idea if we should cover this shit or not. It's pretty good, but we just don't know.
I saw the first episode twice.
I was going to chat with you guys about that after the show.
I was getting I've been taking surveys from like some of our listeners, and I'm trying to get an idea if we should or not. But anyway,
it's pretty big.
That's another day.
Also on HBO Max, so it's a pretty big show. They said that in that particular show. I don't know how valuable this is, but they said that some of the key things about it is how meticulously they matched the actual game that it came from with the actual movie.
So we're at the part where she says, you don't cook with love, you cook with obsession.
Yep.
Even your warm dishes are cold.
Yes.
No,
the thing that really got him was the hungry. She said, I'm still hungry. He's like, you're still fucking hungry?
Yeah, he was hurt. But that's it's kind of like, I know it's going to seem a bit morbid, but like they've said that if ever a woman's in a position and she's going to be assaulted by a man, sometimes what works is to act as if you invite it, and that since it was a control act, it throws them off, and then they won't do it because they were trying to take control from you. But if you demand that they do it, you're taking control from them. So I think this is the same kind of psychological situation where he's unmovable by anything but disappointment in his food. Mm-hmm. And she found that one caveat that allows her to kind of exploit.
She's like, I don't want some deconstructed Avant bullshit. Yeah. I want a real
cheeseburger.
Fucking cheeseburger.
He's like, oh, I can make a cheeseburger.
Yeah. Don't you worry, baby.
And now, I love what
he
said. Keep
in mind, though, when I said, hey, guys, note this beef shit at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
How hard would it be for him to feed her tainted beef and she also dies on the boat at the end? Hot twist.
But...
Yeah. I just don't think so, because I think the whole point was she deserved to survive is what the overall point was. She wasn't part of the...
While this is true, I don't know. They were definitely telling us about that beef for some reason. It's like on The Last of Us. They keep telling us about the food supply for some reason.
Well, because you know it's obviously in the flour.
Yes.
So, because remember, they didn't eat the pancakes. Uh-huh. And then...
The little smiles that he gets on his face.
He loves it.
Like, he's smiling for the first time, I think, in probably decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah. And everyone else in the fucking thing is like, man, we fucked up. We should have asked for cheeseburgers.
But you know what? I agree with you saying that, but the type of people they are, that's why they're still sitting there. They didn't line up and be like, yeah, me too.
Mom's officially conked out on the table.
Mom is out.
She's literally
by the time the cheeseburger happens, mom's out.
Yeah. But I think she knew. She knew that the clock was ticking on all of this, so... It was a matter of time.
Not only does she get a sweet final meal, which it does look like a fucking fantastic cheeseburger. We can't lie here.
Man, but for a plain fucking cheeseburger, that shit looks dope.
She pulled the G move on him and said that she wants it to go.
It's a genius.
And she went with crinkle cut fry instead of julienne.
I would.
I probably would have gone julienne, but that's
just think so. Too,
yeah. Well, actually, no. Now that I'm taking it to go, now that I know I'm taking it to go, crinkle cut fry retains heat longer than julienne. So,
and yes, you can put the crinkle cuts in a toaster oven and re-crisp them.
Re-crispy. Hmm.
Very true.
The julienne, they are a lot harder to
part re-crisp. Part of the plan.
They become harder.
Works.
Very true.
The other part of the plan... Also works.
Yep. So he brings it so humble, too. And then when he wraps it up to go, he knows.
Literally the first humble moments of his entire performance in this movie.
And as I watched it, I'm like, he's going to let her go? And then I thought, he has to let her go or the hamburger is not to go.
Correct.
So she cleverly figured her way out of the entire procedure by having the hamburger to go, which was straight genius.
And I love because the drunk chick is like, she's kind of looking around, like Anya's looking around like, should I go? Should I not go?
Right.
And drunk chick's like waving around like, get the fuck out of here. Like, right. Yo, you get to go. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be here for dessert.
You don't know. Yeah, you don't want to be here. Although I would take that bird dessert the one dude got in the bird.
Yeah, that looked fire.
House.
That did but look interesting. Once they start dressing you up as a fucking s'more sandwich, then this isn't going to end well.
Yeah, and so after she leaves, she gets out onto the boat, and we see her get away. And as she's getting away, the weird wine server dude starts
pouring his wine everywhere.
Just sort of... And they're dancing around.
I will say that it looks pretty fucking decent there. I think it's supposed to be cinnamon.
The cinnamon, is it flammable?
I think so.
So, are they the graham cracker?
Yeah.
Correct.
Hilarious. Okay. Look, she even licks the hat.
Because it's actual chocolate. They made them real chocolate hats.
It's a marshmallow vest and chocolate hats. They look like fucking Rolos.
Rolos are fire. Rolos
are fucking fire.
Good Lord. Disgusting.
Rolos are fucking ridiculously expensive now.
They are?
A roll is like $2.
What?
Yeah.
There's only like eight of them in there.
Every candy is $2 now.
But Rolos, you said it best. Rolos are not some grade A Snickers type shit. Those are B grade candies.
Bro, Snickers are $2 too. It's all $2 now, no matter what you get. $2.
Man, that's ridiculous. Although, I'd pay the $2.
You used to get a lot more than eight in a Rolo.
Yeah, but now I don't even buy them. I buy the bag of Rolos, where they're just...
But they're there's so many better options out there.
The best, how do you say Ghirardelli?
Ghirardelli.
Those, man, the white chocolate with caramel on the inside. It's like, man, if you were in a waiting room in heaven, that's what they would serve.
I don't even like...
No, white chocolate.
I don't even like dark chocolate, but the like even those little squares of dark chocolate that are filled with shit by them are delicious.
I've never had the dark chocolate.
Okay, so they've fucking set everything up. Chef puts his hand into the fire and picks up a fucking coal, closes his hand around it, and walks all the way across the dining room. And everyone else realizes that they're about to fucking die, and no one...
This stupid fool said, thank you.
Yeah. They're literally saying thank you.
Thank you.
I'm at least moving away from the middle, somewhere.
I'm a fighter, bro.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
I'm not waiting around for that shit. They're going to have killed me. I'm not going to be around for the last hurrah.
Everybody says we love you, Chef.
Yeah, that was ruthless. Easy. And I will give respect to him that... He didn't pull a Jim Jones. He did himself in first.
Yeah, he got himself too.
You got to respect that. I really believe that they put that in the script that he wouldn't, even if he was the last one to die, it would have been pretty lame. It would have been like, this was some power move shit. But the fact that he was the first one to go showed his commitment to this. He fucking meant that shit. We love you, Chef!
Run Diesel Mortimer!
We love you, Diesel!
That's right.
Then she gets away.
Yep. As far as we know, I'm going to go with my theory that she ate a tainted burger. She fucking dies on the boat.
I don't think so, but I think that's a pretty cool angle, though.
That is a cool angle. I didn't even think of that.
They're just sitting there talking about it weirdly.
The reflection of the fire in her eyes.
That's sick.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Reminds me of Phoenix. And then I'm like, man, she would make a fucking good Phoenix.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah.
I keep hearing horror stories about casting decisions for
And X-Men I love how right she now. Wiped her mouth with the menu for the night.
Yeah,
she made it. And I was for a minute thinking she would go back, like try to save them. But she fucking ate that burger and fuck saving them.
Literally end with her fucking smashing that last bite of Death
that
Burger.
That delicious looking hamburger that Kellen DeWise says is tainted.
It's Death Burger. So I'm telling you. 153 days.
But this is what I'll say. This is why it couldn't be, because it would reflect negative on his reputation.
I think his reputation is fucked already.
What can you say?
People are going to know that he blew up that fucking hole.
I know, but when you're telling the story of I'm the survivor and I had a hamburger, she's going to want to say, now it was a horrible experience. I'm in trauma. And all this shit, but that was a delicious hamburger.
I'm just saying, she's going to be killing it at night. You know what I survived? I need an extra 20.
Well, y'all know it's time. We got to grade this motherfucker.
Having watched it on my own, it was really C-ish low level. I just didn't get it. But watching it, and then we kind of go through it, and people who've watched it prior to me who have a better grasp of the story really kind of brought it up. I really liked it. So I'd give it a solid B+.
Ooh, nice.
I'll give it a B+.
It was definitely off the beaten path from what we normally do. And really what I watched, I actually watched it with the lady friend at first. And I was like, man, this is actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
And then watched it again, obviously, for show purposes. Mm-hmm. But yes, give me a solid B+.
Oh. This is an A for me, so that makes it an A-.
A-. Yeah. You heard it here. The menu, we graded it, and it is an A-. We loved it.
We broke it down. We ate it.
And we were left with the hamburger.
All five courses. All five courses.
So we have been the super show. We were grateful to our fans to bring this show to you. It was a little different than what we normally do, which we'll do more of, as we said, in 2022, that in 23 we would be taking chances, interviewing awesome people, and doing shows that weren't the normal stuff. So we got to risk it. And so it was a great honor to bring this show to you guys from all of us at the show. So till the next time, we've been the Super Show.
Will you get the check already? Get this shit to go.
This has been the Super Show. We thank you for your support, and until next time, do more, say less, and get your shit together. I have been Lord Macadell, Barry Terrycloth III. Class? Dismiss.